Welcome aboard, you people. It's the Rokon Show with Hannah DeBlanc. Just now for another day of broadcast insolence.
Your eyes okay today, Ro?
I am a medical miracle, Anna. A medical miracle
Fresh
today.
Fresh back from the dentist.
Yes. I would like to thank my dentist, Dr. Jeffrey Kapp, who is... I now have been complaining officially to friends and family for about a week about this tooth. And I'm like, uh-oh, it feels like it's gone. It's like a molar. And it had a, you know, it had a filling in it from 30 years ago, which that same dentist did.
That's great.
30 years
that's
ago.
That's a good dentist.
And he said to me, he said, you know, this thing will last you about 30 years and then you're going to need a crown. And I went in today, and I don't need a root canal. We don't think, and he's and but I'm going to need a crown. So they but they but he but there was a lot of drilling, a lot of drilling, and I think
that
I believe that this may be even more of an act of bravery and civil heroism.
You're working through it. It's amazing.
Even greater than when I was here in May with a cold.
Yeah. That was pretty
You're
big.
An inspiration to
Thank
us all,
Ro.
I think we should get those little rubber wristbands that people wear for, you know,
live like, strong,
right,
whatever. Yeah.
For major causes across the globe. Like something like what would Ro do or like just
live like Ro.
Live like
strong
Ro.
Like Ro. Ro,
Ro
strong.
Ro
strong.
Ro strong.
That's it. Ro strong. What color would it be?
Pink.
Pink. Perfect.
Exactly.
Bright pink.
Like right, a fuchsia, actually.
It should really be yellow.
Yeah.
Hashtag Ro strong.
Right. Candy striped pink
you,
and yellow.
You put it on, you know, when you battle through something and make it to work like a hangnail. You're like, check this out, guys.
Paper
I battle
cut.
Through.
Paper and people cut. Know to ask you, you know, hey, what'd you do, man?
Ro like, strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still here at work, even though I stubbed my toe this morning.
Yeah, this was really something. This is a moment of, I think perhaps I deserve a national holiday. I'm not sure. I'm going to talk.
At least a brown street sign named after
sure,
you.
Sure. Well, at least that. Now, I've been trying to get that for years. I don't know what happened to that effort, but.
Such fortitude, though. I'm really impressed. Really am.
Yeah. There is nothing worse, though. I will say this. There's nothing worse than having a drill in your mouth.
Oh, I know. No,
well, having a bad tooth is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Because even if it doesn't hurt the drilling, just the sound and it's just,
the stuff coming off too. You're
and the vaporizing that goes on there too. It ain't pretty.
But I like that little suction thing with the water gun and the suction at the same time.
My dentist told me that my tongue was out of control. he pointed out. He was like, you know, you gotta calm your tongue down. I don't. What are you
Wait,
doing?
Wait, did he mean from the show or from when you were sitting
in
the chair?
No, in the chair. I was apparently getting in the way of his operation there. The things he was doing, and he was like, you gotta stop with the tongue. And I'm like, I go, this is my moneymaker. He goes, but I don't want to cut off your moneymaker. So let's. Can you do? Because you know he's got drills, and I get. You know, I think at one point he actually had a chainsaw in my mouth.
I don't know about that. And is he the kind of dentist who talks while he works?
Yeah, what is that about?
And then you can't
about?
Answer because your mouth
How are
is
you?
All...
I've known him so long that he's almost like a family member now because it's we know.
Oh, so he doesn't talk
we
don't, to
we
you.
Did, right. It's like family dinner when he's... You know, that's all that's really going on. And, you know, we're watching TV. We're both watching TV while it's going on.
A little Wheel of Fortune.
Yep. Oh, I know this one. I know this one. I know this one. The Entertainer. Oh, damn it. It's not.
Except he couldn't understand you because there was a drill in your mouth. Damn. And he's like, well, that doesn't count.
So anyway.
Glad you made it here today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ro strong.
Yeah, Ro strong.
I love it.
Gosh. I don't know. I don't think I get the kind of credit for my fortitude.
No.
I think you get enough credit from Kevin.
I take enough credit.
Well, what's nice is when you don't, you actually bring it on by mentioning it. So then you get it.
When I beg for my own credit, you mean?
What will it be like when you actually are sick?
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Don't even say it.
Why
don't
would you
say
that, Judy?
It's going to happen one day. You need to prepare.
Mentally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
all
the crown, that's pretty bad. I'm a little bit proud of you for enduring that.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was a real big deal.
It gets much worse, you know. You only went through the first part of it.
I get afraid of just teeth cleanings.
I know. I hate the dentist for a while.
Yeah, the next part when they actually have to take the tooth and make it into a post or whatever they do.
And then they put it in and it aches for a while.
I hate the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not good.
Just make sure you can bite down. Important.
Yeah. Well, I think that's. I think,
but not on tinfoil.
I believe that he's the guy. Oh, God. Wow. You know, I'm fresh from this, people.
Yeah, he's still raw.
Yeah, I'm still raw. I mean, this, I got PTSD from you know, from the 1 o'clock hour.
That's why you should take care of your teeth.
Yeah.
But don't you feel better now? You got it taken care of.
Well, I'm starting to get it taken care of. I mean, I know what the problem is. When the problem is when you don't know, and all of a sudden you think you got tooth cancer, and you're like, what could this possibly be?
I just let it go as long as I can.
I do too.
Like maybe for a year sometimes.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that
too.
Tooth will get, and it does. It, you know, it comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And then
you can get that numbing stuff from Walgreens.
Yeah,
I'll be fine.
I get the mask at the dentist office, and that lasts me a while.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do that? Do you do that? Where
they don't have it a lot anymore at some places.
Judy's got a tank in her family room.
No, I don't think I wouldn't.
I'm going to post up tonight. You know, do a little
That's what I'm going to do. Hold on. Yeah. I'm going to lay back.
Roast strong.
Yeah, roast strong.
Strong,
I think the whole show is roast strong.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So,
it's inspiring.
Right, all right, coming up on the program, Mr. Mark Sapelsa is going to join us, short timer. He will be with us from the WGN TV newsroom. We'll find out what's going on there. We also have Alex Stone is in Phoenix for us, where the big rally is tonight. The president is going to be speaking there at a stadium. And it's really, it's not so much what he's going to say. It's what's going to happen with the people attending, because you got protesters from both sides. You know, he always draws protesters, right? There's always some speech. There's always somebody who jumps up and does some kind of a thing. And
heckling or and, pulls a flag out or something.
And then people start chanting USA. And then, the security drags the person out or whatever it is. And then there's always, you know, some stern-looking guy in a golf shirt and gigantic biceps with a shaved head who you know, gets, like, in the face and, like, you know, feigns a swing at a guy while he's going out.
Yeah.
Remember
That's
the time that?
Happened.
Remember the day when Donald Trump said, "Go ahead and hit him, and I'll pay your legal bills." Remember that?
I remember that very well.
And man's now president of the United States, by the way. As you're wondering, so we'll see what happens. And there is some concern about how are the Phoenix police going to respond to this? Because how are they going to keep the protesters apart and from getting up in each other's grills?
Yeah, you've got 20,000.
Well, I think they've already called out the National Guard. They're on standby. So I mean, they're there actually. Yeah, they're not taking any chances.
Now, the governor, both the governor and the mayor, the Phoenix mayor and Arizona governor, both said, "Hey, don't do this now. It's a can you wait a couple of weeks?" Because he's going to go there, and part of the there's two things you know for sure. He's going to beat the poop out of John McCain and Jeff Flake, the two senators. By the way, I might point out
Republican senators
from Arizona. He's going because Flake is up for re-election. Flake's a never-Trumper, and obviously we know the history with McCain and Trump. So there's going to be that. But there's also this theory that he's going to, the speculation that he's going to announce that Joe Arpaio, the kind of wacky sheriff from Maricopa County there in Phoenix, is going to get pardoned. You know, he was federally convicted a couple of weeks ago for a...
rounding up immigrants based on nothing other than maybe their status. And,
right. And it
trying
was...
trying to figure out if and they
should
be deported.
And not obeying a consent decree, which would have been contempt of court. So he was found guilty of contempt of court, which is, you know, pretty minor violation, but it's a federal
offense.
That'll
get the crowds riled up.
Well, that shows that he's appealing to the base and isn't coming to the center, as his speech last night sort of led us to believe that maybe there is a movement to do that.
I didn't understand the speech last night, quite honestly. Well, I really didn't get it.
I kept going back to his comment during the campaign where we should get out of Afghanistan.
He said that, but once you sit behind the Oval Office desk, he said, my instinct was initially to pull out, but now I'm sitting here in this position, and my generals are telling me, if you pull out, then it means you're hotbed of terrorism.
A, B, and C are gonna happen, yeah. Yeah, you know...
It sounded like he was listening to his generals, and I think that was positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't forget his new chief of staff, General Kelly, lost his son in Afghanistan.
Right.
Had to be a very powerful message.
All right, Mr. Mark Sapelsa will be joining us coming your way in just a few minutes right here on 720 WGN. But first, Violetta Powder-Max got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
They're the two to trust at 4. Watch Ben Bradley, Lourdes Duarte, Chicago's very own WGN-TV Evening News, weeknights from 4 to 5.
Mr. Mark Sapelsa joins us from the WGN-TV Newsroom.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Mark.
Mark, a couple things, two pieces of business right now. We're going to do a little house cleaning, and then we are going to get into the news of the day. Number one on the house cleaning issue, housekeeping, Mr. Sapelsa announced last week he's going to be retiring from the industry of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
An act of incredible sanity, and clarity. And so we congratulate you on that, and you're going to work through the rest of this year through 2017.
Right.
You're going to miss 2020, and 2020 is going to miss you. That's all I can say about that. but this is the question that that we have now. You know, on this program, we're very democratic. This is what we do. Actually, we're more regal than we are democratic. Let's be honest. And now as a total Game of Thrones devotee that I didn't start watching it until a couple of weeks ago. And now all I can think of, I think in Thrones talk is the way that I look at it, as we'd say here in Chicago.
As close as I've ever been to Game of Thrones is Dubrovnik, where a lot of it has been shot, but I've not watched a single second of the program.
Yeah.
Beautiful place though.
Yeah. But you know what happens in that show, and that, this is not a spoiler alert. They behead a lot of people.
A lot of people die in really awful ways.
Yeah. There's
very bloody gory.
A lot of swords through the neck. And since you are basically taking yourself out, we would like you to name your successor. That is what we would like you to do. That's how we would. That's
here on the WGN radio program, Rokan.
Yes. For this part, we can't have you name your successor Channel 9 because that would. Then I'd really be in trouble with the bosses.
So then this is the throne, the game that he's
right. It's Game of Thrones.
Why don't you have a Game of Thrones?
To see who the successor should be.
What would that entail? Like a javelin throw or something?
I don't know. Mark's got to be involved somehow.
I could just be the referee of the beheading. You know.
or you could do the beheading.
You weren't beheaded. You're next. You get it.
We're gonna let you think about it. We're gonna let you take a couple days and go around.
Fair enough.
And see who either you want to be really kind to and not give the job, or people that you got in for them and you want them to have to waste 10 minutes a day here.
Well, what I'll probably do is I'll sit down with said candidates and I'll say, here's what you need to do. First thing is call Anna, because you'll feel good about this if you call Anna.
Yeah, I'll help.
She'll prep you as to what this is all about. And then
I know where this is going.
And then she'll guide you as to how to play.
News-a-roos.
Yeah, or a psychiatrist. You know, for the guy that sits across.
Right.
And then it's your decision, folks. I mean, you guys tell me if you want in or not, and then we'll play the Game of Thrones. And which one of you is beheaded, we'll lose.
Yeah.
You
know. Look up the word hypochondriac. That's important.
Right?
Row Strong is the new one we got today. Row's very strong because he's powering through his post-dental visit and he's able to make it to work today.
Yes. Oh, so you had... Wow, were you shot up today?
I was shot up, yeah. It's just coming... I'm coming off it now. My dentist gave me 4 Advil, which, to me, that's like...
Advil?
I might as well be on Oxycontin if I'm taking 4 Advil. Yeah. I feel. But you know what happens when you take 4 Advil? You're like loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
There's
no aches and pains.
No, there's nothing. It's like you can't, like, I could just go slam my head against the wall right now.
That feels good.
Yeah, nothing wrong here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
So I got a little of that going. But I'm good.
You're a gamer.
I'm a gamer. I did this. I got a temporary filling in right now. And
it's all good.
And I'm just
so strong.
I know. Row strong.
It's a little bit of sarcasm.
Inspiring.
Oh, I'm sure, Pomegranate. Coming from you.
We're gonna do yellow for cowardice, like a jaundice yellow color too, for the bracelets.
Row Strong bracelets.
Row Strong bracelets. It's just gonna be.
And then if you wear one, Mark, then people will be invited to come up to you and say, "What did you live through? What did you endure?
Exactly.
Tell us about your fortitude."
Right.
Exactly.
It was a paper cut, and I survived.
I had a Charlie horse. In the middle of the night.
That's right.
And I have been able to get here.
I got a little sunburnt on the golf course this weekend, but I managed to make it here on Monday.
Row Strong. Stories of... We can get Chris Duffy, our great voiceover guy, that also Channel 9. He could do like a...
Right.
Stories of great courage. Row Strong.
Love that guy's voice. He's like a...
Oh, it's perfect.
He reminds me of like the old Smucker's voice. Schmucker.
Yeah.
He's got
that whole thing. But he's got a whole range of those things.
He does, yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Oh, so. It just moves you. Like when he was doing the ones for the Cubs leading up to the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, literally goosebumps when I hear
his
voice.
Locked in on it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the news of the day. This is something. I know you won't miss this, but this is a crazy thing. By the time we get to Tuesday, they're recalibrating the weekend violence numbers.
Yeah.
And it's always shocking. You know, we get to see, like, on a Saturday, if you especially you look at the Tribune feed.
Yeah, when they're documenting it. Yeah.
And they're excellent at it. Both papers do a really nice job with this story. But sometimes has a map, which is a really good way of kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the Tribune literally has reporters or stringers out at almost every store, at every shooting. And they're able to give you a bit of murder for sure. I mean, it can't be at every shooting because there's too many of them. But then we end up with these double-digit numbers. And this is the second most violent weekend, this past one, air show weekend.
Yeah.
Second most violent weekend in Chicago.
Yeah.
Since July 4th. Which was a holiday weekend and a longer weekend.
And I know that because of the air show, there's an intense police presence and focus downtown.
Right, so you wonder if the numbers driven there for police activity just by percentage and happenstance causes more crime because the mom's away and the kids will play, so to speak.
Well, I think there may be a perception of it. I don't think that there's in the neighborhoods. I'm not sure that there's any less feet on the beat, if you will.
You don't think?
But I think I think there may be a sense though that maybe there aren't, because you do see an incredible. I mean, there were hundreds of police officers down on the lakefront,
right, mm-hmm.
and around the lakefront and around downtown on Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. But that's basically where they're telling people, hey, you got to, you know, it's like there's a lot of overtime involved in that. And people working extra.
Yeah,
definitely. 63 people shot, 8 killed were the revised numbers.
Unbelievable.
Just 63 people shot.
Weekend. Unbelievable.
It is. And you're starting to see, and the one thing the Tribune did the story today that was particularly well done, where it showed the trail, basically the ping pong match between the two. Yeah, you don't even want to call them gangs anymore because it's such a loose affiliation.
Yeah, yeah. Factions and fractions.
To call these guys, you know, to 10 guys involved in one drug selling operation versus 10 guys involved in another, or, you know, former gang members or whatever they are. It's not, it no longer has any sense of
collectivism there.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Or there doesn't seem to be any command and control. And I use those terms loosely, but there was at least that sort of, there was a rhyme or reason to it. Now it's just one guy gets shot and they go, well, then we're going to shoot that guy. Then the guy who got shot in front of the church over the weekend was a witness in another shooting. Right. So it's just like, it's just an endless parade of carnage.
I remember, and you probably do too, you guys, you know, I feel like mid 90s, late 90s before the high-rise, CHA housing came down. Sometimes police sources would give us tips about, there's a percolating, rival gang.
Gang war, right?
Yeah, going, you know, where you did have that rhyme or reason. You know, I mean, it was chaotic, it was violent, it was deadly, it was, you know, it was wrong. But the point was, they had a grasp on those groups. This has been percolating for about a day and a half, and we think at 6 o'clock tonight something bad's going to happen when the sun goes down, and it would, because they had their, you know, they had the tentacles in there. The police had the tentacles in there. Now you're right; it's just they're it's almost impossible.
Right. It is. It is an amazingly
and
awful
arrests
situation.
Are down as well, 25%.
Right,
and convictions clearances of the cases, clearing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. On that happy note, Mark. Yeah. All right. You get back there in the newsroom and you figure out what's who you want to nominate.
Sounds good.
To replace you on this
program. I love your democratic process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except someone gets beheaded at the end. Everybody
who's not. Yeah. And then we behead. And then, like Game of Thrones, once the person gets named, we behead them a few episodes later, too.
That's true. That's true. That's why I'm bailing on this.
Unless they sleep with a sibling, which is the way it works on Game of Thrones.
Right.
I mean, it's really
unless
crazy.
They're really hot.
That was season one, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was some sibling sex,
yeah.
Oh, God. Woo! Hey, but they were good looking. You know, and that was it. And I think that's how they got that past HBO. Hey, did you see these two?
So bizarre.
I mean, swear to God, look at them. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
Mark, Mark is the undead. He is like the unsullied. There's nothing he can do right now. He cannot get fired. I mean, that's the beauty
that's
of this. That
he
is really true.
He has to be above the fray, and he's above the fray.
I know. Well, that's because he's Mark Sapelsa. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
All right. Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News right now, being brought to you by iWantSmart.com. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. A lot going on in our fair little world. Coming up a little bit later on, Alex Stone's going to join us from ABC News. He is going to be in, he is in Phoenix right now getting ready for the president. He's going to be making a speech there tonight, a rally style speech. The issue there, however, is not so much what he's going to be saying, because it's we've seen these before, and we assume. Although, you know, this is a moment. Does he turn the page? Does he try to make a little bit more of a universal message?
It's something he could do, and pardoning Sheriff Joe Arpaio would not signal that that's what he's doing. So
I would say that's correct. Yeah. So we have. So we have that. So we have to figure out, you know, what happens there. But it's the crowds that are going to form, which is really the thing that, that is everyone's watching. And how are they going to keep the crowds away from each other? And you don't want to have a clash like there was in Charlottesville.
No, no, you don't want to repeat. You have the mayor alone saying that he's concerned, very deeply concerned about if this lights a match, if some of the rhetoric creates more, you know, fans the flames too much, and how far will it go? A lot of opposition rallies and protesters plan to be outside there, in addition to Trump supporters who are planning to be both inside the stadium and outside.
All right. Right now, we are pleased and very proud to be joined by Commander Kirk Lippold, who was the commander of the USS Cole, U.S. Navy retired. Commander, I want to talk a little. Thank you for joining us today, and the times you have in the past. Really appreciate it, and thank you for your service. I suppose the question I think a lot of Americans have right now is, why is it that it does appear that you've had now two major incidents in the Pacific with U.S. destroyers being struck by commercial shipping, and how is that even possible?
Well, first, thank you for having me on. And the one thing I'd like to do is, you know, my thoughts and condolences are with the families and the crew members who've lost friends and loved ones in the tragic collision.
Right. Even in Chicago, there's a Chicago area seaman is missing in this, by the way. So
the one thing that I think that is missing in all of this is that everyone seems to be focused on what went wrong on that ship. And while those questions will be answered, when you begin to have this many collisions, four in the last, you know, 6 months or so, there's clearly a systemic issue. And when you really start looking at it, as I have in the last few days, what you begin to discover is that we are having a failure of leadership by the admirals back here in Washington, whose job it is to ensure that the fleet is properly manned, trained, and equipped to be able to forward deploy and safeguard U.S. national security interests on the high seas. And when you have ships that are undermanned, ships that aren't trained properly or haven't been able to invest the time in training because they don't have the manning, then you end up with these problems that begin to manifest themselves in more accidents. The Navy's seen it, and tragically so has the Marine Corps, with several crashes recently that have resulted in loss of life as well.
Right.
So you think it's a training issue? It comes down to more of a training and who's on board those ships?
Absolutely. I think it's a training and manning issue. And I'll give you an example that came from my experience. When I was on board USS Cole, I had three lookouts that we used. One on the left side of the ship, one on the right side of the ship, just off of the bridge where we steer the ship from, and one at the back end of the ship at the fantail that looked aft. Nowadays, because of manning shortfalls, the ships out there typically only operate with only one lookout at the very back of the ship. So you've got a number of set of eyes, and the bridge watch standers up there, they're monitoring both radar and visually where these ships are relative to that naval vessel to determine, do we need to maneuver or do we have to maintain our course and speed? You also have a combat information center that is also monitoring where the ships are maneuvering on radar and keeping an eye on them.
Well, okay, so I guess that...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Commander, but this is an important point. Obviously, you have technology on board these U.S. warships that is designed specifically to be able to detect surface traffic, right? I mean, obviously, you're looking for potentially adversarial surface traffic, and you're looking for friendly surface traffic. How is it? How as the destroyer is moving, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be able to anticipate a collision? Because I mean, you know, in terms of the way that military vehicles move, I mean, ships don't move as fast as airplanes, and it couldn't that collision have been determined and avoided?
There is a possibility, but that is assuming that number one, the manning on the ship is allowing that watch station to actually have someone sitting there at that time, and number two, have they received the full and complete level of training necessary to understand all of the data that is being given to it by that radar system or by that software that is displaying it so that they can interpret what is going on? When you have manning shortfalls and training shortfalls, you don't get that. And so what you're seeing is, I think when they go back and start looking, there are obviously some training shortfalls that are occurring on these ships, and part of it's being driven by they've got a number of manning shortfalls. 315 people normally man a destroyer. Now most of them are manned to around 250 to 260 personnel.
Commander, there's also, immediately there were concerns, is cyber intrusion, sabotage a factor here? And Fox News at least is reporting a naval official has told them that no, it did not play a role. Admiral John Richardson has put on the record saying, to clarify, possibility of cyber intrusion or sabotage, no indications right now, but review will consider all possibilities. What is your view on that from what you know?
Looking at it right now and based on the intelligence and talking with folks that are out in the field working it, everything has to be on the table when you do a thorough investigation. The probability that this is a result of either cyber intrusion, hacking, or worse yet, a terrorist taking over the merchant vessels and ramming it into the U.S. Navy ship on purpose are slim and none. While it may be a possibility, the probability is almost non-existent.
Now, the USS Cole, which you commanded, was a missile destroyer. Would it have the same sort of equipment, to the degree you can discuss this, the same kind of navigation and self-defense equipment on board that these two ships that have been struck now in the last couple of months, the U.S. Navy vessels have been struck, would they have the same sort of stuff?
Yes, they do. They're not only the same, but since I was in command a number of years ago to today, every one of those systems has even been upgraded and is more sophisticated than when I was in command of USS Cole. So while there is more capability resident on those ships today, again, if we're not ensuring that these young men and women who are choosing to serve our nation are getting the proper training to be able to operate those systems and interpret the data coming from them, it doesn't matter how sophisticated you are. They're not going to be able to avoid these kinds of problems. And I think that's what we're really beginning to see.
Does this problem emanate on at the Pentagon or Capitol Hill or the White House? Where does this problem come from?
I think the problem, first and foremost, the individuals that I will hold accountable for this are the admirals and generals. They are the ones whose number one obligation is nonpartisan. It is to the American people to ensure that our national security is maintained and that they are responsible for working with Congress to make sure that we have a budget that mans, trains, and equips the fleet. That's their job in Title 10 U.S. Code. And clearly there has been a failure because these admirals and generals are not going to the American public and saying, hey, we are not getting the money we need. Now, I know there's civilian control. I know they work for the commander-in-chief. But at some point, their obligation is to the American people, not just to those on Capitol Hill.
All right, Commander, we'll leave it there. Really appreciate your time, sir. It's an honor talking to you. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on today.
Commander Kirk Lippold, who was the commander of the USS Cole when it was bombed back in. And it's an interesting circumstance that he just addressed, if you're just joining us. Which is that, you know, the one thing that you have to be very concerned about is that U.S. Navy ships at sea and in port, especially in port and foreign ports, are very, very, very careful about is terrorist activity,
sure.
Right? And that's a big, big, big issue. So the question that I think on the lips of everybody is that how can you get rammed by happenstance, not a terrorist act, but just dumbassery on behalf of that, and I would blame the Navy vessel more than I would blame the commercial vessel, because a Navy vessel has to be in a full self-protective mode. Now, a commercial vessel should also have the same radar and should not, you know, that shouldn't happen.
No,
they should know that that stuff is out there, and that if they see something else moving in the water, they shouldn't hit it.
Right. And you think about the strategically having those ships in the Pacific, very useful right now with the counter-defense systems they carry and that kind of thing. You think about what's happening right now in the world with North Korea, it's disturbing.
And it doesn't appear to be an act of any kind of terrorism or sabotage
that they've found yet. Not
right. I mean, it is just as I said, and I know this is a technical term, dumbassery. All right, and he lays it directly at the Pentagon and saying that they're not properly training and manning these folks.
We heard that,
and paying for it. All right, we will pick this up on the other side. But first, Violetta Powdermedic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right, coming up on the program, as we mentioned, Alex Stone from ABC News is going to be in Phoenix as we prepare for the president's speech there tonight. The president just landed in Yuma, Arizona, where he's going to visit a border town. And then he's going to head up to Phoenix for the speech. So we have that to look forward to. Also, Danny Trejo is going to join us. People know and love Danny Trejo, even if you don't know the name. He is have you ever seen Machete?
Yeah, I've seen him in a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies, Desperado.
From Dusk Till Dawn, Con Air, mm-hmm. I think was where we first got to see him.
Great movies.
He's always, he's Spy Kids movies. He's the bad guy, he's with a heart of gold.
Yes.
Generally.
He is. He does a lot of giving back in the community, spent some time in prison himself.
And he's got a lot of tats.
A great mustache.
Isn't there a print ad that he is in too, I think, for something? For Snickers. Oh, he does a Snickers thing, the hangry thing.
Yes, that's right.
Right? That's it.
Yeah, he did a Super Bowl commercial
right.
for Snickers.
Yeah. So he's going to join us. He's going to be at the Comic-Con, the Wizard World Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. So we like to talk to those folks. We're going to be here for that because it's always something.
It is fun.
They know what there's a great sense of fun and irony when it comes to the people who show up at that thing, and there was something else we got to talk about is the woman. Have you followed this story? This just tells you how stupid social media really is. I hate to say it.
Yeah,
I know that we're on AM radio, and I'm just sitting here and I'm jealous because we're not Twitter. But the reality is this. That with the people, they just got to stop with the Instagram and the Twitter and the fighting with each other.
The trolling
has just got to stop. This is a story to end all stories. The woman who's married to Steven Mnuchin, right?
Louise Linton is her name.
Louise Linton.
That's right.
She's very beautiful.
And fancy.
And exceptionally fancy. And she was engaged to him when he was going through his confirmation. And so you have kind of this geeky guy sitting up there. You know, mm-hmm. at the Senate confirmation.
And, yes, I believe that the interest rates should remain stable throughout the... You know,
there's this gorgeous blonde woman behind him. I was like, who's that?
And Mnuchin was like a movie producer and stuff, right? So he's... As a matter of fact, Mnuchin, when Wonder Woman came out, I'm like watching the credits at the end of Wonder Woman. And
his name?
Like, he's there! Yes!
Oh, wow.
That's him doing that.
She's a Scottish actress.
Yes. Well, she's very, very, very pretty and mm-hmm. very, very, very stupid for what she did on the social media. She went after a woman who trolled her, and we will tell you that story and exactly what she said, which is, you know, just I don't think it completely befitting. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. The word of the day, mm-hmm. the word of the day is dumbassery.
Yep.
That
and
is the
also,
word of the day.
Row strong. We actually have two words today. Row strong for powering through after your dental appointment and making it to work and being here full steam.
I have already priced out row strong bracelets.
Good.
In canary yellow. Because nothing screams bravery like the color yellow.
Rose You're Tron, welcome.
WWRD.
And just so we're clear, it's actually four words, but whatever.
Okay. But Rose Tron kind of goes
together.
You
were saying word of the day. Yeah, I have to point it out.
Well, in this case, that's all one word, dumbassery.
And Rose Tron is one
dumbassery,
word, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Hashtag.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hashtag. All right, we're
hashtag
all good.
Hashtag Rose Tron.
Yeah. So here's the moment of...
Everyone's talking about it online.
About Rose Tron.
Rose Tron, yeah.
Because I've appeared after a dental procedure.
Yes.
Think of all the
same day, within hours. No. The dental... Oh, I just want to say this.
Uh-huh.
The dental procedure was at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, pretty close to airtime.
It ended at 1:52.
You should have got up a little earlier, buddy.
I couldn't get in. You know, the guy that I made the appointment yesterday in an emergency circumstance, it was the first available.
You've been with Dr. Kapp for 30 years, you told us. He wasn't able to get you in.
Well, he got me in, but he got me in at 1 o'clock. That's what he had available. I know, 30 years. He's the dentist to the stars.
We invite all of the people who went to view the eclipse in Carbondale and drove back for 15 hours to go ahead and use that hashtag Roe Strong if you made it to work today, because that's big.
Rose Strong. Anyway, the point here is this. Here's someone who I'm not exactly certain is Rose Strong. The Treasury Secretary's wife. There's breaking news now.
She loves her hashtags anyway.
Louise Linton, Steve Mnuchin's wife, apologized Tuesday for his social media post.
Oh, she did apologize.
And her subsequent exchange with a commenter that sparked an online uproar. I apologize for my post on social media yesterday as well as my response. It was inappropriate and highly insensitive.
Yep.
She said in a statement from her publicist. That's Rose Strong right there. As you send your publicist out to go and do something that is just absolutely completely useless. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's wife, Louise Linton, is facing backlash for an Instagram post that has been deleted. That touted how rich they are.
Well, it started out with the words she used seemed fine. It was she and her Mnuchin getting off the plane, the United States of America plane, and great day trip to Kentucky, nicest people, beautiful countryside. And, you know, just talked about how great it was. But then she used the hashtags and tagged what she was wearing, her Hermes scarf, her Valentino studded heels.
Tom Ford.
And
Roland Moray.
Yeah.
And it was very weird to do that in that context.
That's true.
Right.
If you're at a party in the Hamptons and you take a picture,
Kentucky, it's so great, and hashtag all these
And they went to Fort Knox. Things. That's the craziest thing.
Did she hashtag that?
One of the things she went to go look at was the gold at Fort Knox. We have more than this, don't we, Steve? She doesn't seem at all to be...
Hashtag Chanel.
Yeah,
it was a let them eat cake moment, sort of. It felt like people viewed it that way, and they made that known on the Instagram and said, "Hey, you know, guess what? This just like I know this is a taxpayer funded trip, but you know, you're bragging about all your expensive stuff, and you know that there's a lot of people living in poverty in the state, and people took offense to it. But then she had at it. That's where I think she really got in trouble. That one mother of three.
So she." So then a woman goes after her, this, as you mentioned, a mother of three, goes after her, sort of, I'm glad that, you know, we were paying for your trip, your day trip.
Another person said, please don't tag your Hermes scarf, distasteful. You know, people took, they didn't like it. They made it known.
So she goes after this woman, Jenny Miller. Jenny Miller, 29, by the way. Cute. Aw, did you think it was a personal trip? Adorable. Do you think the U.S. government paid for our honeymoon or personal travel? LOLOL.
OL.
OL. LOLOLOL. It's like alcohol, except for the low. She wrote in a response, peppered with kiss emojis. Her reply escalated further. She touted her family's wealth and personal sacrifice. Have you given more to the economy than me and my husband? Either as an individual earner in taxes or in self-sacrifice to our country, I'm pretty sure we paid more taxes toward our day trip than you did. Pretty sure the amount we sacrifice per year is a lot more than you'd be willing to sacrifice if the choice was yours. By the way, improper use of subjunctive right there.
There's also a misspelling in there for pointing out everything. But it was a little bit of a, I mean, she went
off. Well, sometimes when you get heated, you know, you just keep tightening up those thumbs and.
Yeah. Adorably out of touch. Right.
Which I think is the most ironic comment.
The first lady of the treasury.
Yeah. She grew up in a castle in Scotland and attended the same boarding school as Tony Blair. All right. I mean, you know,
how is she supposed to be in touch? She seems pretty high up there.
Although I can tell you, again, from Game of Thrones, I've seen what happens in those castles in Scotland, and it ain't pretty. It's cold, and then you get beheaded. You get a knife through your throat. She's seen a lot. The post was then deleted last night, and then she set her account to private, but not before a number of screen grabs were taken. Now, this is... Miller said she found Linton's original post incredibly offensive, the woman who she went after.
Mm-hmm. She was interviewed on CNN this afternoon, too, and explained herself about how she took offense because of the, you know, high poverty rate in the state, and a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, and she's on a government-paid trip and bragging about her $5,000 outfit plus, I'm sure.
Nobody likes a braggart.
No.
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 Under any circumstances.
No. I think you're right, though, Judy. It's because it was that photo of coming off of a United States, clearly taxpayer-funded trip, that's where people drew, you know, they had a problem with it.
Right. If she was taking a selfie on her couch watching...
Or she was on a yacht.
Or her yacht.
She's allowed to be on a yacht or at a Hamptons party and do all that, but it just felt like the taxpayer-funded message of the trip was sort of, outshined by the outfit and the fashion display.
Look, our own private U.S. jet. We're going to go down to Fort Knox and polish the gold.
So ridiculous.
Hashtag polish. Hashtag gold.
I guess the whole look was $15,000. I was totally wrong. $15,000, not five.
So she just hashtagged all the designers?
She's just an idiot. She is entitled, obnoxious, and I'd like to point out something else to all the Trump administration. A foreigner, how does she get over the wall?
Oh, Roe Strong.
Roe Strong. Hashtag Roe Strong. There you go. Seriously.
Where's she from?
Scotland. How did she get in here? H-1B visa? She was brought in just to marry. Was she a mail order bride? Was she brought in just to marry the Treasury Secretary?
Maybe she just doesn't know how to use hashtags.
Oh, well,
she doesn't, because she hashtagged each word individually. Kentucky, hashtag Kentucky, hashtag nicest, hashtag people, hashtag beautiful, hashtag countryside,
really?
Hashtag
a lot
USA.
Of hashtags.
She did. Okay. She doesn't know how to do that either.
She doesn't know how to use
it. No.
So maybe she didn't know what to hashtag. Maybe she's like, oh, this is like an ad.
Right. Is there a hashtag nicest that actually trends? I don't think so. Not in this country. And certainly not on social media. You know, hashtag hate, war, those things all trend. Mm-hmm. Nicest? Who's going to look at that? The hell kind of Pollyanna fairyland are we living in here? From her castle in Scotland.
Yeah. There also was a tinge, I think, in her response of looking down on everyone else. Wasn't there? Didn't we all pick up on that? And
we pay more taxes. First of all, you don't pay anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Steven Mnuchin paid more taxes than probably this woman did. But I don't think Steven Mnuchin would be out there crowing about the fact that he paid more taxes. And I like that other part, too. We pay more taxes than you'd be willing to if you had the means. Like, what do you mean? How do you know what she'd be willing to pay? Mm-hmm. Just because you're not willing to pay the tax. And a lot of people aren't. I get it. But she's saying, we're doing it even though you wouldn't be willing to do it if you had to make the kinds of sacrifices that we had to make by paying millions of dollars in taxes.
On our billions that we make.
Right. On the hundreds of millions.
You know, that's not even a good argument.
I know.
The people who make $50,000, those taxes hurt a lot more.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Correct.
No question. And.
Yeah. Hashtag grow strong.
And Buffett has pointed out himself, when you're paying the taxes on income and investments, on investments, you're paying at a lot lower percentage than
they don't pay nearly enough
in middle class.
By the way, for those of you who may have missed Ms. Linton's film career, her film credits include parts in Lions for Lambs, Intruders.
Is it a porno film?
Rules Don't Apply. She is a graduate of Pepperdine University.
See, there she's smart. She went to journalism school there in Pepperdine.
And she went to, and she has a law degree from the University of West Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
That's the saddest thing of all.
Which, by the way, and the rest of the world has a degree from the University of East Los Angeles, if you know what I mean.
Totally different.
Violetta Paramedics got the WGN Turf Trouble Spots.
And then there's this. Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
Just a couple other things here about Louise Linton.
Okay.
Stephen Mnuchin's high-maintenance wife.
I think he got mad at her for tearing into someone like that.
Oh, my God.
So
imagine.
Like there had to be something.
But you know what? They're newlyweds, right? They've only been married 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she's super hot, and he's super geeky. Even though he's, you know, very successful. He's a very successful banking guy. He's a very successful Hollywood producer,
mm-hmm.
right? Which turns out Steve Bannon was a very successful Hollywood producer.
Weird?
I mean, I'm just telling you. That I always like to look at it this way. I mean, if you think about the resumes of many of the people here, people have been arguing, we need to have a business guy as president of the United States. Well, now we have one. And he's having all of his business friends doing this. And it's nothing but Hollywood types, right? I mean, like Steve Bannon's a Hollywood type. And people go, well, at least he's not. He's playing a game. He's conning people. He is telling you what you want to hear, even though he knows it won't work because he wants to rally your support and then move you into some other direction. That's the way politics gets played. It gets played on the left that way, gets played on the right that way. But people who are getting played don't realize it. They think the other guys are getting played. If you're on the left, you think the guys on the right are being played. If you're on the right, you think the people on the left are being played. Well, guess what, kids? You're both being played. Mnuchin wasn't even one of those guys. Mnuchin was a guy who, you know, he was the money guy behind, again, you know, one of the biggest blockbusters of the summer, the Wonder Woman. Right?
Mm-hmm. American Sniper also linked to, and Mad Max Fury Road, some of his credits as a producer.
So he's a pretty successful guy.
Yeah. Forbes puts him at $300 million.
That's nothing. Anyway, the point is that so she marries him because, you know, if he were working as an accountant at a firm and bringing down a cool $120,000 a year, you know she'd be marrying him too. The exact same guy, but still just being an accountant and giving time on the weekends to poor children who, you know, need a little extra help with their math skills. My guess is Ms. Linton wouldn't be married to him. That's just my guess. It says here that in the stories about her, the London Telegraph published an article excerpt of a book.
Mm-hmm. Is this about her trip to Africa?
Yeah, in a statement that Linton's work mistakenly implied that the conflicts in Congo and Rwanda had spilled over into Zambia. That Zambia was a war-torn country in 1999, and armed rebels had crossed a lake to Zambia that year. Others claim of inaccuracy. Other inaccuracies were also made. She says that she grew up in her family's castle
in Scotland
during the summers and weekends, which was a backdrop for a 2015 horror film that she was in. I spent the weekends at Melville Castle. It was an idyllic childhood spent mostly outdoors with all the animals. My siblings and I zoomed around on little motorbikes and kayaked and fished. Just like all the kids do
just
in
like
the
everybody.
Inner city.
But the, other like one, but the mother of three is out of touch. Yes. So that makes sense.
God. All right. Well, we wish her the best of luck in her humiliation from all of this. And Steve Mnuchin,
she apologized, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, she did. But there's nothing that we can do about that. Nor can Steve Mnuchin. I can guarantee you that. Okay, so we have on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN a word for today.
Yep.
This Tuesday, the blah, blah, blah of August. I never know the date. Is it 22nd?
22nd, because yesterday was the eclipse, 21st, so yeah, 22nd.
Okay, 22nd of August, year 2017. Dumbassery is the word of the day. That is the correct word. And we're seeing it displayed. We gave you the story about Stephen Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary's wife, on Instagram, trolling a woman who was trolling her for getting off Mrs. Mnuchin, although she prefers her maiden name, Linton.
Louise Linton,
walking off a U.S. government jet wearing a $15,000 ensemble and then Instagramming the pictures of her shoes as she's walking off a U.S. government jet in Kentucky to go visit the gold at Fort Knox. It doesn't really get much more out of touch than that. And then she goes after some mom in the Pacific Northwest who trolled her. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't be in the business of trolling. You get what you... I mean, listen, you throw out negative stuff out on the internet, you're going to get it back. It just is what it is.
Jenny Miller, 29, said, "Glad we could pay for your little getaway. Deplorable." That's what she said.
And then the...
And then woo!
Yeah, then
the rant.
Ms. Linton didn't like it. And now it's turning out that now there's an eye on who the hell is this Louise Linton, who is the Treasury Secretary's new wife. They just got married 2 months ago in a lavish seven-figure event. Mm-hmm. And there was a... And Ms. Linton is actually Scottish, grew up in a castle in Scotland.
Went to boarding school with Tony Blair.
Yeah. It's
same one he went to, so not
sort
the same time.
An obnoxious woman. If her behavior on the interwebs is any mm-hmm. indication, and apparently some of the other things she said throughout the time, it's hard to feel empathy for poor little billionaire.
The mother of three from Portland, Oregon, did not feel any empathy for her. She was like, okay, look, my blood, sweat, and tears is paying for that jet. Don't be bragging about, you know, what you're wearing. It's not a playground. It's, you know, if it's official government right. business.
It made worse, though, because Ms. Linton yes. went on to say that, you know, we pay more in taxes for our little trip than you do. And it's sort of like, okay, really, you want to play that game in American politics? It's not a winner. Never proven to be a winner.
You know what? Sort of went all Real Housewives.
In all politics, forget about American politics, I seem to remember it went particularly bad in French politics.
When was
very,
that?
Very bad. During the French Revolution.
Oh, I thought you meant more recently, because there have been some, rich first ladies.
Yes.
It's including, right.
Where they decided to actually cut the heads off of the royal family. Also, didn't go particularly well in Russian history. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of places where that sort of thing just doesn't go over well.
No.
Now, I have a local version of this.
What?
Did you see this story? Sun Times today is reporting that Jay Cutler told the Miami Herald, did a sit-down interview with the Miami Herald, and talked about how the losing with the Bears wore him down. Now, by all statistics, Dan Cahill wrote this story based on solely on statistics. Jay Cutler is the greatest quarterback in Chicago Bears history. It's true.
Can't really argue with it.
He leads a franchise.
You can't argue with it.
You can't.
Statistically.
Attempts, completions, yards, completion percentage, touchdowns, yards per game, and passer rating.
How
number
about
one.
Wins and
this is
playoffs.
Why we don't trust science sometimes.
That's exactly right, Violetta. That's exactly what the president said. This is why you cannot trust science. Because, by the way, I'm going to look at the eclipse. No one's going to tell me not to. Melania's like, Benin, put glasses on. Put glasses on! Don't look like father!
Yeah.
Anyway, he did end up being 51-51. He's dead 500. 1-1 in the playoffs.
And that's the best?
Well, statistically, he's the best quarterback in Bears history. He just doesn't have the...
He also played in a different era. I mean, Sid Luckman, they won, four championships with him? But that was in the 40s when
they
ran the ball 40 times a game and threw the ball every once in a while. So it's a little skewed.
And I would argue that what they're using for the statistics, don't Super Bowl appearances count? Playoff appearances count?
Well, if you just look at this, wins, is the way, this is how they judge a quarterback. A quarterback is only one position, but they judge a quarterback in terms of his efficiency at his position, and he's the most efficient and proficient passer in Chicago Bears history. So that's just the way to look at it. That's no way around it. But he told the Miami Herald, I think you can talk about anybody in the league. No one likes to lose. No one likes to go through those situations. Those are tough. They wear you down, but that wasn't the sole reason. I mean, they released me, so it was kind of an end of the road at that point. Now, and you do kind of feel for, and Jay Cutler was always, people tried to make him out as not being tough. He was tough. There's no question about it. But it didn't work out here. Fine. He still did have pretty great numbers. However,
thank you.
However, it gets worse.
Oh no! You mean what his interview? What he said?
Cutler isn't. This is Dan Cahill again, writing in the Sun Times. Cutler isn't the only one in the household that felt that there were tough times in Chicago. Wife.
Oh no.
Actress, model, author, and entrepreneur. Kristen Cavallari.
Fried calamari.
said last year that living in Chicago held back her career.
He was making $100 million.
I'd be lying if I didn't say that. Living in Chicago, I feel like my career suffers a little because I am completely out of the limelight.
Well, what is her career? Is she a clothing designer?
Wait, hold on. Let that settle in. Kevin.
Yes.
Let that settle in. I'd be lying if I didn't say that living in Chicago, I feel like my career suffers a little bit just because I am completely out of the limelight. Full stop. Oh, my God. I'm going to put her. Where is Steven Mnuchin's wife?
Oh, no. I blame the eclipse. People are going crazy.
I think this we have other evidence of this in the past prior to the eclipse.
No, it's just the eclipse.
For coming to the Bears in a 2009 trade, Cutler started 2.5 seasons with the Denver Broncos, and he went 17 for and 20. So he had a losing record there.
I suppose you'll see. I mean, look, if he's like stellar with the Miami team, with the Dolphins, then maybe there was something wrong with the system, with the Bears. I don't get it.
Let me ask a question here, if I just might.
Yes.
So this move to Miami is going to be good for her, right? Because that's where a lot of, you know, there's glamour and excitement in Miami.
They've done Real Housewives
Miami,
there.
Right? You still can't get a good one going here.
No, although
I got a few nominees for it.
Well, they tried to put one together here, but
I feel like Chicago doesn't want it.
I think it's true. It's almost like that people don't want to just argue with each other and throw things at each other and insult each other.
And we don't need that.
Anyway, the point is that she's going to Miami. She's going to hang out with Pitbull and Will Smith. Will and Jada. We're going to Will and Jada's house.
Getting jiggy with it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about it, J-Lo's got a place there. You know, you've got a lot of famous
people. She just doesn't
want
to blame her kids. Her kids are holding her back.
What?
I mean, she has to raise them.
What?
That's what she's doing in Chicago, raising her kids.
What?
I'm just saying.
I don't think the kids are holding
her back. I don't think the, yeah.
Well, someone has to watch them, right?
Yes. They have people for that. That's really not the issue. I think she's a reality star, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that
how she sprung
to fame?
Yes, that is how she started.
Whatever limited fame that was. I mean, is the world really begging for more Kristen Cavallari? Is it?
Plus, I feel like Cutler kept her in the limelight. Like, everyone in Chicago was curious what were the Cutlers up to.
And every time she appeared in a magazine, it would say Bears quarterback wife, you know, it would be sort of this, you know, celebrity couple.
I mean, in L.A. or Miami, isn't she like a D-lister? In Chicago, she's sort of an A-lister?
That's true.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, doesn't it feel that way? You'd be right. Chicago is it's not really a celebrity-intensive town. And the celebrities who are from here also have homes in L.A. and New York. Right. Mm-hmm. So, your Bill Murrays of the world and your...
Our big celebrities are our sports stars.
Yeah.
So being tied to Jay Cutler makes you an A-lister because he's the most
talked
about...
Even if you're a bad sports star?
Yeah, well, he's the most talked about sports for the last 9 years or so.
They're making their home now. I just want to point a few things out here.
Sure.
They're making their home in Miami during the season, Nashville in the offseason. That's not holding her back? I mean, Nashville's a great town. It's a great entertainment town. But it is not a paparazzi town. It's not a reality. They're not doing the Real Housewives of Nashville.
Right. Remember that article detailing the celebrities that live there go there to stay out of the limelight?
Yes,
like a lot of them go there for privacy. It's the opposite.
That it's really cool to get away and it's a great music scene, but there really isn't. People sort of leave you alone, is what they say.
Great real estate for the dollar down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is beautiful. It's amazing. It's a great town.
So wait, she participated in the interview? It was an
she
interview
participated
with
in an interview with Yahoo Celebrity.
Oh.
Yahoo! ! Celebrity, period.
Kind of like Jeb! !
Yes, exactly. Yahoo! ! It didn't work for Jeb. I don't know why Yahoo's still doing it.
I don't know.
Yahoo! Anyway, the point is that, you have Mrs. Mnuchin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wearing her Tom Fords, walking off an airplane.
Her Hermes scarf. Hashtag Hermes.
Right. And so she's super fancy, going to tell everybody else how rich she is and how poor everybody else is and how disconnected they are from reality.
And how much they give back because they pay taxes.
If you'd only grown up in a castle, you'd know what I was talking about.
You're so out of touch.
Row strong.
Yeah, you didn't grow up in a castle, did you, Row?
No,
and
I did not.
You're strong even despite that.
Right, exactly. I grew up in a rental apartment on the mean streets of Streeterville.
Gold Coast.
In the Gold Coast of Chicago. I know a little something about suffering.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes the elevator, one elevator was out, and you'd have to wait an extra 2-3 minutes for the other elevator to show up. I know what that's like.
You relate to Louise, don't you?
I relate to it. I just sort of do, yeah. I know what it's like when you're getting ready to go to school and your blue blazer's missing a button. Your ascot's too tight. Maybe you're growing out of your ascot.
The caviar spilled on your tie.
I know what that's like. Trying to get the caviar stain out of your ascot.
Yeah. Hate when that happens.
That's the worst. Yeah.
I relate to that.
Right? And there's no Tide stick to be found. I understand.
And the nanny's nowhere to be found.
Right? Where is she?
Hello?
She's got a day off. What do you mean she's got a day off?
Don't you have your bell? Ring your bell, Ro. She has
to
come.
Who am I going to talk to?
Oh, dear.
So I can relate to these people.
Said nobody other than you. I mean, come on. This is looking. Gosh. Chicago held her back.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Kristen Cavallari was held back by Chicago. Then, I mean, we'd heard this before.
Sorry, Kristen. But sorry now, for holding you back.
I mean, I do have a little bit of empathy for Jay Cutler. I actually do.
You do?
But in marrying Kristen Cavallari, he asked for a lot of this trouble. The same way that Steve Mnuchin asked for the trouble by marrying that woman that he's married to. Right? Because it's going to be nothing but trouble. You know that when he got home last night, she blamed him for all the trouble that went on.
It's
if you
hard,
didn't take
hard
this job as Treasury Secretary, we wouldn't have this problem.
It cramps our lifestyle.
Did she also post a photo of Mnuchin naked on vacation on Instagram?
Just his backside,
like,
close up.
Cavallari with color?
Sort of like with that flabby, foldy butt, like old guy float, like grandpa butt.
Oh, gee.
It would be probably the same hotel room, by the way, which was, wasn't that in Bora Bora or something like that?
Yeah, it was some fabulous
place. Yeah, it was
in
Tahiti, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure the Mnuchins probably went there, too.
Where they had one of those flotillas right on the water. It looked beautiful.
And you could just take a hashtag grandpa butt. Violetta Potomatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots. Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis right here. I'm just trying to get over my own angst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking about how hard I'm working here. You know, these 4 hours of talking on the radio.
Post-dental visit. I mean, that involves your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
My dentist told me that my tongue was in overactive today while he was grinding a tooth out of my head.
So you're working with an overactive tongue.
Yes, that's what he said.
Row strong.
And I am row strong. And then to have all these other people who are doing absolutely nothing and then telling me how important they are, it really bothers me. Whether it's Kristen Cavallari or it's Mrs. Mnuchin, who doesn't even like the name Mnuchin. She won't even take the guy's name.
Hasn't yet.
Call me Lindsay Luton. What is her name?
Louise Linton.
Yes, that same thing.
Linton Mnuchin would be hard to say.
Louise Linton Mnuchin.
See why she didn't do the hyphenate.
Oh, say that 10 times fast. Louise Linton Mnuchin. Louise Linton Mnuchin. Are you here for the Lintons or Mnuchins? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just everybody's acting like a goof. Hey, did you see this? Hey, I know that you love the New England Patriots because of Tom Brady.
Yeah. What's going on with them?
New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has given President Trump a commemorative Super Bowl ring.
Hmm. Didn't they already visit the White House? Wouldn't they have done it then?
Yeah.
That is when
they
gave it to
they
him.
Did
oh,
it.
They did.
We didn't know that until just now.
Right.
He's not wearing it, or we'd know that.
He should wear it. That would really. He should wear it in Arizona tonight.
Now he has one just like his buddy Vladimir Putin. Remember that
story?
Oh,
yes. That was such an odd story.
Actually, Vladimir Putin has Robert Kraft's actual...
That's what I mean, yeah.
...Super Bowl ring.
He said, hey, take a look at this ring. And Putin thought it was a gift, and he put it in his pocket. He's had it ever since.
Thank you.
Wow. At least he could get another one, but my gosh.
That may be the greatest crisis.
You could get... Right, you need an ambassador.
Of all of this, yes.
get that back.
I'm not sure how I feel about any of these things.
Yeah.
I guess you don't. It's not surprising because they go back, don't they? Robert Kraft and the president have been friends for some time. Tom Brady says he's played golf with them, even though his wife didn't seem like particularly charmed by him during the election and wrote some things about how we're not Trump supporters.
No, we're not Trump supporters.
And then told her husband, be quiet. You're not a Trump supporter either.
Right. Told him not to talk about politics.
Don't talk, Tom. Just look pretty. Throw a ball.
That's
not what a Brazilian accent sounds like, but let's just go with it anyway.
Close enough.
Everything sounds like Melania to me. Even Louise Linton sounds like Melania, even though she's from Scotland. I grew up in Castle.
Yes, you did.
Playing games in summer with brothers and sisters to ride on kayaks and motorbike. Boom, boom, boom. All right. Anyway.
What a day.
Patriots spokesman Stacey James told the USA Today that during the team's championship visit, Trump mentioned to Kraft, a longtime friend, how honored he was that the Patriots were the first team to visit the White House during his presidency. Although the team came bearing traditional gifts on the occasion, a jersey, a helmet, you know, the kind of stuff that you always see.
Yep, they always have that.
He said that the Patriots have visited the White House 5 times.
Well, they've won 5 Super Bowls and.
Yeah, okay.
Tom Brady was a quarterback who led them to 5 Super Bowls.
I'm still sickened by this entire thing. But the point is this, that the Trump visit, they say, was their best in Robert Kraft's eyes.
The inside of the ring inscribed, "We are all Patriots. Greatest comeback ever." Greatest comeback ever.
Right. And the NFL covers the cost of the 150 rings. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's interesting.
That is.
I did not think. I thought that the teams had to pay for that.
So and I wonder, did I.
The NFL does it because it's an NFL logo and they do all that stuff. That's
a
good deal.
Limit on how many you can give out? Then
150 rings.
Total, no
and if you want to do more, you got to pay for those on your. And you know this poor Robert Kraft. Where is he going to come up with the money?
I don't know. I mean, GoFundMe is an option, I suppose. These were only $36,500. It seems like
that's what 2015
that's
rings.
That's the only ones. Yeah, that's it. All right, Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN news coming your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. You know what it's time for, don't you?
We do. That special time of day.
Doesn't get more special than...
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
Senator Bernie Sanders hosting a rally in Portsmouth, Ohio today about jobs, health care, and the economy. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Bernie.
Seriously?
What's wrong with that?
He's going to be 104. In 2020.
Well, it makes you wonder, will he run for president again?
Oh.
That's what you wonder when you hear this kind of stuff. It seems like campaigning.
He's in Ohio, of course, doing this, which tells
you. Important. Not Vermont.
Iowa or Ohio are your two four-letter Midwestern states that you would be in right now if you're thinking about running in 2020. Is this what America really needs? Is this the fresh, young face of the Democratic Party that America is clamoring
for?
Like
everyone who's been talked about so far. You got your Biden, who potentially might throw his hat in the ring. Yeah.
There are no young Democrats.
Well, unless you believe that Zuckerberg is positioning himself.
Oh, please.
And is Kanye? Is he a Democrat or Republican? We're not sure. He wanted Trump.
God.
Kid Rock and The Rock have been named. Got a couple options there under 70.
No.
Don't worry, Ro.
The Republican Party is. The fact that if Bernie Sanders is the best that the Democratic Party can offer up, they might as well just close the doors. They might as well hand over all their emails again to somebody.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
If they had to try to rig it so that he didn't have an advantage.
Right. I mean, that just tells you everything you know. I mean, he's 150 years old. He knew Karl Marx. They went to grammar school together. I mean, he's preaching a failed economic system that's, you know, give everything to everybody. It's not going to work. Although Donald Trump's trying that too, and it's not going to work.
He seems like one of the more genuine politicians who've crossed our presidential plate in a long time. He does.
What
he
is
seems
genuine?
Like he speaks from the heart, and what? He believes him. He's not polling to decide how he believes, that he's somebody who actually has this center of what he believes that America should
yes,
have.
Yes, he believes what he says, but what he says doesn't necessarily mean.
Well, here's
right.
the problem. He's like Santa Claus. I mean, Santa Claus believes what he says too, I think. But he's a fictional character!
I'd vote for Santa.
Santa for president?
Except for the kids.
Santa 2020.
Santa is, he's real. He's working on your toys right now, kids.
That's right.
Or your coal, so be good.
Santa's yeah, real.
Exactly. You're 5 months away. It's all going to be good. Here's the issue. This is a guy, or 4 months away? What is it? What is Christmas in?
I don't even want to think about it. It's August. No way.
Yeah, it's August 22nd.
No way.
4 months and 3 days.
Yes, I can't wait.
I don't like hearing that. Yeah.
Anyway, point
that
here.
I don't like
start putting my list together.
Here's the point. Bernie Sanders is promising everything to everybody, right? You can't do that. It wouldn't work. So I mean, I may be speaking from the heart, but it's a system that just won't work. Well, it's like if McDonald's decided to give everything away for free, for period. How would McDonald's make it?
Hillary Clinton changed her views on free public education toward the end of the campaign there to include free public education.
For college.
College.
Yeah. There's already free public education for,
of course,
well, nothing's free is free. Right. And then who pays for that? We can't even pay for the schools now.
Oh, yeah. You see that.
Right. So you're just going to tax people until what? Until they leave? You know, the Mnuchins are going to fly out of here. He's going to go from Treasury Secretary. He's going to go live in that castle in Scotland with his witch wife.
Wearing her Hermes scarf.
Oh, God. Anyway, here's what Bernie had to say.
We live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, but increasingly, almost all of the new income and wealth being created is not going to the people on this panel, not going to Dan's co-workers, but is going to the top 1%.
There you go. Pretty consistent on that, the Bernie.
He's going to be 180 years old in 2020.
That doesn't mean you can't run for president if you're alive and kicking. He's got a message that resonates, as we've seen.
Yes. Well, didn't get him. He didn't get past the primary.
No.
And I think he would have. People are like, I think Trump probably would have still won.
They've
been
possible.
Closer, but nobody believes that. Just economically, people have the instinct that, well, how are we going to do that? Anybody who pays taxes is going to stop and go, well,
how does that make sense?
How are we going to, now we're going to give everybody a free college education, whether they need it or not?
He's going to be in Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio this week.
He's running. Oh my God.
So sorry. It's happening. Get used to it.
Number four.
A new strategy in Afghanistan. From now on, President Trump says we will not talk about troop numbers or plans for further military activities during a primetime address last night. The president explained that conditions on the ground, not timetables, will guide the strategy, despite his original instinct to pull out of the longest war in American history.
My original instinct was to pull out, and historically, I like following my instincts. But all my life, I've heard that decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. In other words, when you're president of the United States. So I studied Afghanistan in great detail and from every conceivable angle.
Where is it on the map again?
It does seem like he took the advice of the generals around him on this and gave it serious consideration.
It's shaped like a Pringle.
I just don't understand what's different than the policies from the past. I think that's...
Well, he's making the argument that they talked about timetables and drawdowns, and they were trying to get the policies of the past. And this goes back to Bush, George W. Bush, and it goes back to Obama. The idea is to get the Afghanis to stand up for themselves and to train a force. But the problem is that it's very hard to do recruitment in Afghanistan. It's very hard to keep them trained. And it's very hard to have them not actually get compromised by family members that are, you know, in Taliban-held territories.
And it's 16 years later, and it doesn't appear that we're winning with the same strategy.
No. Wait, there's more.
As I outlined in my speech in Saudi Arabia 3 months ago, America and our partners are committed to stripping terrorists of their territory, cutting off their funding, and exposing the false allure of their evil ideology. Terrorists who slaughter innocent people will find no glory in this life or the next. They are nothing but thugs and criminals and predators and, that's right, losers.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, may be true. That's all true. But have you noticed when the president is on the teleprompter, he is like a kid in high school who's reading, you know, a script for the first time, like in front of the school. Like he's the president of the school of the class, senior class, and he has to read the announcements. He kind of hunches over. He shifts on his feet and he kind of hunches over one way or the other. And it's like he's reading a bedtime story. As opposed to when he's not on the prompter, he's like screaming and yelling. And he's all, you know, everywhere. And then when he's on the prompter, it's like Humpty Dumpty went on the wall. Humpty Dumpty took a big fall. It's kind of like that. I don't get it. I just don't get
it. He did position this slightly different than the way Obama did, saying that just pulling out the troops would leave a vacuum. And we're not going to nation build, though. We're going to make sure that we root out terrorism and terrorists. And that seems to be his focus. It was the only real change that I picked up on in his speech.
So last night, it was Donald Trump on the prompter. Yep. Tonight, he's going to not be on the prompter.
Is that true?
In a campaign-style rally. In Phoenix, where crowds are already gathering for and against him. And our own Alex Stone, ABC News' Alex Stone, is on the ground, and we'll talk to him at 6 o'clock hour about that. First, Villa de Paramedics at the WGN Trouble Spots, and then we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1.
The playoff push hits the Queen City. Bryant versus Votto, Cubs versus Reds, tonight at 6, WGN TV Sports.
All right. Top 5 continues, checking in at
number 3.
An album called I Am AI is the first album ever entirely composed and produced by artificial intelligence.
Uh-oh. If this is good, it's going to really worry me. I'm not ready for this.
There is a human behind this as well, Taryn Southern. Taryn Southern is the writer and performer of these songs. But she did the songs, she wrote them, and she performed them. And then the artificial intelligence built all the orchestration around it.
Mm.
I can't wait to hear this.
Just sort of auto-generated it.
Mm-hmm. And so this is just another way. Music producers are going to be the coal miners of the 2020s, I think, if this thing works.
The robots, they're going to get us.
I wish I could see beyond what I can see. I wish I could touch beyond what I can touch. I wish I could feel beyond what isn't real. I wish I could imagine, yeah. There's more to who we are. There's more to what we could be.
I don't know what to do with this.
I like her voice, but that's the best part about
that. That's the human.
Will
right.
the computer be performing at Lollapalooza next year?
I don't think it's ready yet.
On the Perry stage.
I don't
think
it's ready.
Featuring the laptop.
Maybe Kidzapalooza, but I don't think it's ready yet, thankfully.
Yes, it will be, though. Amper is the name of the computer. I am Amper. I am replacing your job now. I am now a human talk show host.
312-981-7200. Donald Trump. Donald
music,
Trump.
Music producers had a good run.
Luckily, they still some need cases, humans.
Yeah. In some cases, they had a good run. In other cases, they dropped dead of drug overdosing.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Checking in. I don't even know what to do with that. I'm now afraid.
Number two.
Just 3 days after the latest Marvel series, The Defenders, went live on Netflix, the streaming network released a trailer for its next effort, The Punisher.
I'm not that guy, right?
You want to explain that to the orphans and the widows of the men you killed?
That's what you think. I'm just some crazy going around unloading on whoever I want to.
Yeah,
huh?
That's exactly what I think.
That is.
You think you're anything else?
I think that the people I kill need killing. That's what I think.
You left men hanging from meat hooks.
They got off easy, in my opinion.
Ooh.
Whoa.
It's going to be the Daredevil versus Punisher. By the way, I got to tell you something. Uh-huh. That these Marvel Netflix series are mm-hmm. great.
Are they?
They're really good. Really entertaining. It's a good, 12-hour binge.
Mm-hmm. It feels like Game of Thrones has elevated the violence game. You no one can shock anymore unless you're hanging from a meat hook.
Right. That's the one thing about Game of Thrones, which is now the biggest international television hit of all times.
It's huge. And it's so good right now.
But it's a lot of sex. It's a lot of boobs and a lot of violence is basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What show is this?
You're probably already seen
Game of Thrones is the one with the boobs and the violence.
Oh, yeah.
But this is Daredevil versus Punisher, which is going to be coming out. And this features John Bernthal as Marvel's former Marine Frank Castle, who uses his skills to mercilessly hunt down criminals of every stripe after the murder of his family. He's the Punisher.
Ooh.
All the things that I'd done. Memories. They never hurt me. But the past. It's more than memories. It's the devil you sold your soul to. He's coming. He's coming to collect.
Stuff of nightmares right there. Wow.
They are good, though.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
They
got this
somehow figured out. All right. And finally, having a little trouble with my computer, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just I'm going to stop and continue to.
Is it busy producing this song?
Right, you made fun of it.
Maybe Amber can help you.
I am taking over show.
Maybe we need a little artificial intelligence.
From Roe Strong. Donald Trump. 591-7200. That's the wrong number.
See, it's not perfected yet, the whole
981-7200, Donald Trump. Donald Trump. That's all it knows. That's all artificial intelligence.
That's all you really need to know for this show.
It's sort of true.
Number one.
Actually, Jay Cutler, too. Donald Trump, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, Donald Trump. John Fox.
Cavallari.
Kevin Powell. All right. The Bears cut Jay Cutler. You might recall this after mm-hmm. 8 seasons.
We remember.
Chicago fan base is pretty ready to move on. But Cutler revealed today that the feeling was mutual. Is the game still fun for him?
I think I've always said that there was going to be days I missed it and days that I was content with my decision. There's never a week that went by that I didn't think about playing football. Did I make the right decision? Did I not make the right decision? I think that's kind of in life. There's always situations that come up that you're not for sure which direction to go. You just got to pick one and roll with it.
He had sort of just a middling preseason game, right?
I think he went 3 for 6 for 24 yards or something.
They didn't have him
in
for a long time.
He didn't play much?
No, just played, I think, one or two series maybe. They play next Thursday night against the Eagles, so we'll see more Cutler in that game. The third preseason game is normally when you see the starters get the most playing time. And especially for Cutler, who is sort of being rushed into the Dolphins system, because remember, he started. He was only joined the team, 2 weeks ago?
Right.
But you don't have to be in good cardiovascular shape
to
be a quarterback.
If you're a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But if you're running for your life, it doesn't hurt to be in good cardiovascular shape.
Well, he also I think it's kind of interesting. He's going to play under a system that he played under with the Bears.
Right, with Adam Gase, who's now the head coach. And that was arguably maybe his best season as a Bear, was that relationship he had with Gase. So They say they it feels like they haven't taken a year off together, and they picked up right where they left off a couple years ago.
And aren't they cheering them in Miami and really excited about them? It seems like the
we were too.
Yeah, we were those were the good old days.
Yeah, we remember.
Remember when
that.
We thought Jay Cutler was going to be our savior? Yeah. Well, Jay Cutler also in this interview with the assembled media, sports media in Miami, gave his Chicago doctor a shout out.
No, I went over to talk to the doctor.
Podcast booth going.
No, I went over to talk to the doctors, and I said, I think I'm good to go. I was kind of glad to get that one out of the way. Landed right on my right shoulder. You know, didn't feel anything. So, Dr. Bowen in Chicago, nice job.
Oh, how about that? Yeah.
Does he get the bell for that?
That's Roe Strong right there.
Roe Strong. That's right. That's right.
Playing through it.
That's right. I sit in doctor's offices waiting. I sit in chairs every day. Waiting to just get in.
Mm-hmm. Powered through after your big
dental appointment.
Did you get a
lollipop?
Does this look funny to you? That's what I say to all my doctors.
Like, no, Ro, we've seen this before.
Do you take the floss sticks or the toothpaste?
I take the toothpaste and the toothbrush.
I love the little goodie bags. That's really why I go.
Oh, God. All right. We've got your Judy Pralak's news on the other side. But first, let's just wrap this thing up.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Keeping it Roe Strong here on WGN.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. We've decided because if you're just joining us now, I think one of my bravest moments as a broadcaster.
Top 10.
Without question. Top 5, perhaps. I have arrived here at work after having a dental procedure earlier in the day. Just 2 hours prior to the broadcast.
Teeth cleaning?
Inspiration to all of us.
It was bigger than teeth cleaning.
Wow.
The teeth cleaning I can arrive within minutes thereafter. This was a...
humble brag.
Teeth cleanings don't hold me back.
This was a dental procedure in which a 27-year-old filling was removed by my dentist, Dr. Jeffrey Kapp. Dennis to the stars.
The filling had
he
a
promised
good
you 30.
He said this thing will last 30 years.
Do you get a refund?
Then we're going to have to put a crown in, and it lasted 28 years.
It's pretty darn close.
Yeah, and they're going to have to put a crown in.
Oh, that's
I don't know
not
how
good news.
I don't know. I know that is not the good news.
Then you will really feel like a
now when I arrive on those days.
Oh, watch
after
out.
That, I just want this is almost as brave a moment as I had a few months ago when I worked 3 straight days with a head cold that. I would say, my friends, it's an incredible sacrifice. I do it for you.
You don't see the same way
that Mrs. Mnuchin pays her taxes for you.
Mm-hmm. She's doing a lot.
Does
for
your
us.
Mom go with you to the dentist?
She offered.
She did.
She did.
And you didn't say yes? Sometimes you need your mommy.
She said, well, I'll go. What can I do for you? Like, nothing. I'm just going to go to the dentist.
My mom went to the dentist today, too. So she's probably at home recovering as well.
I'm at work, by the way.
Okay, it's her day off. She did it on a day off, Ro.
I didn't have that luxury. I had dental pain.
She did, too. She was fighting through these last couple days.
I was having a lot of trouble with my tooth.
Didn't you get like 16 Advil or something?
I got 4, and I'm still stoned on the Advil. They gave me 4 Advil. While
Advil. I can't believe they gave you 4
Advil.
They
did, though.
That's a little bit odd.
They did shoot me up in the roof of the mouth. That's not so pleasant.
Oh, like with heroin? Because that would be the only thing that would help.
Meth. Special dental.
The only thing that we
and
do.
And when they do the Novocaine now, don't they put so much in? It takes like
I think it's
20
forever.
Minutes.
It's always been like that.
I'm not complaining at all.
It takes it 20 minutes to get
it. I would
it
like
in.
It all over my body.
Isn't it kind of a funny thing, though, when they put the Novocaine? You know, if you ever get like a little glimpse of that needle, don't ever do that. And I'm not afraid of needles. I've had...
I hate them.
I've been shot a number of times. I don't care. Not like that. Not yet.
No, we know you're not Rose Strong like
I'm not Rose Strong. But I don't really care about needles as much. But when you see that needle for the Novocaine, because it's like about an hour, it's like...
How do you see it? They hide it. They do a really good job.
He does a thing where he tries to hide it.
Now look at this.
Yeah, look at Rose. Look what I'm going to do.
You know when they squirt out a little?
Into your mouth. But you know, it's kind of funny because when it goes into like your cheek area, you never feel it.
That's true.
That's amazing.
Well, they put the topical on first.
No, they did. This guy goes straight in.
You
it's
sure?
All fat, that's
yeah.
why.
Oh yeah, I'm very sure. I know what he's
that
doing.
Should pinch a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's just boom.
He's a good dentist.
Oh, he's very good. Yeah. Well, he's been my dentist for.
No, he's
years.
Really he's pinching your cheek. You just don't even know it.
I don't know, but whatever it was, he got it in there, and then because it was a tooth in the back. He also did the roof of the mouth part, that other side of the
mouth. Oh, that hurts because there's just nothing there.
No.
Oh.
And again.
Did you scream?
And again.
Wow, you are brave.
Being here after such a traumatic experience as that.
Mm-hmm.
Really something? Mm. Really something?
I used to come to work after chemo.
See, now I know you feel bad.
Rose Strong.
I waited hours to mention that. I did. But I
you let me.
You just kept on
great,
and on.
She did a great job of just waiting, waiting.
Let me just say, I did it one time. And then I can't even believe I did
Aren't you so exhausted after chemo?
Yes. Exhausted and like.
You're throwing up and stuff. Too,
and
right?
you're pretty. When I talk about being high, it's not really high, but you're out of your mind.
Oh my gosh.
I never did it again.
Oh.
Mm.
Commitment.
A lot of
people do it, I'm sure.
Rose Strong.
That's Rose Strong right it's there. I actually showed up after LASIK surgery. That was a mistake. Terrible mistake because they said, take the day off and keep your eyes closed for the entire day.
Oh, you must have had a headache.
And I woke up. I went to go get it at 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a show that started at 3, right? Like this.
Seems like enough time.
And it seemed like enough. Right. So after I got home by 8:30 and I went to bed and I was in bed until, 2:45, whatever it was, I got to work and I decided to do it. And I kind of messed it up.
Oh,
I had dry eyes for years after that.
No.
And they said, you should have kept your eyes closed for the whole day.
See.
That was Ro Dumb. That was not Ro Strong.
I like the hashtag Judy Strong. I think that's a
Judy Strong. That would be a real hashtag.
That's a different.
Yeah, because Judy is a cancer survivor, and I'm.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. We're okay. We're good.
And I'm a filling survivor.
You're a filling survivor. You're a toothache survivor.
I'm a toothache survivor.
We're
yeah.
pretty close.
This is a little. I think it's a little different. I, Judy, think it might be there might be a change in metrics there.
And I'm preferring my crowns compared to yours. If you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rose Strong. I am gonna get those bracelets though, and sell them on the
in
air
yellow.
For just $10 a piece.
So people would support you, or they would tell your story, or they get to do it for themselves?
No, they would have to tell my story.
The story
of how
what
brave
that,
I
dude?
Am. Remember the time that he came to work after a filling? Do you remember that?
Hey, what's your bracelet all about?
One of the bravest talk show hosts in the history of talk show hosts. Which, by the way, I would say is true.
What?
You think about the kind of Jack Dorkery that goes on in talk radio... And the lack of bravery in talk radio, I would say that goes down as one of the.
You could be top 10.
Yeah. It could be top 10 showing up after a filling. You think Hannity does that? I don't think so.
Maybe it should be hashtag brave radio.
Rose Strong.
Right. Radio brave.
Do you have any pain or does the Advil take care of it?
I don't know. The Advil seems to have worked. I feel like a noodle.
Feel kind of loosey-goosey.
I feel a little loosey-goosey. Well, I had pain. I didn't sleep very well last night.
Yeah.
I was having a lot of pain from the pain. I can't believe I made it. Anyway.
Way to power through.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Millennials are more likely to prefer being fired over text or instant message than having to go into the office and being told in person. I don't mind that.
Where do these millennial studies come from? Every day there's 10 more millennial studies.
This is on the CNBC.
Trying to define your generation, Kevin.
I can define it for you.
Getting fired is a traumatic experience. To lessen the blow, most bosses prefer letting employees go through a face-to-face conversation. Yet it may come as a surprise to some employers that being fired by text or instant message is actually preferable to their younger employees.
Yeah, you save a trip to the office.
It's probably preferable to the bosses, too, because it avoids an awkward situation where things might get a little heated.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking things over, screaming. I don't know what people do. Is it normal to cry if you get fired, or is that not like...
No, I think it's pretty standard.
It's okay.
You cry.
I'm real strong. I cry. I cry when my boss
real
goes...
Men cry.
When my boss says, we're having a meeting, I start to go, I don't want to go.
What is it about?
You're going to fire me.
I'm going to need you to come in 30 minutes early.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, no.
No.
Can't do it.
They did this once before. No.
But in the millennial world, is breaking up over text okay? Like,
that's not okay, in any world.
I wouldn't think so, but... I don't know why this is different.
37% of millennial workers say they would prefer to ask a quick work-related question over text or instant message. 16% of millennial workers would like to present an idea to their boss by way of email compared to just 3% by phone. Now, that's the one thing we know for sure.
That they don't use the phone.
You call a millennial on the phone, being the parent of a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
You call a millennial on the phone, for years I paid for her phone. It was never picked up. When the phone rings, you look at and I mean, I know this because I do this too now. I've learned. You look at it, you go, oh, I can't really talk to that person right now. And you just kind of let it go. Uh-huh.
Plus, you're like, if it's important, they're going to leave a voicemail.
Right.
But if it wasn't important.
Oh, I hate voicemails.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought millennials don't listen to voicemails.
Why would
But now you have the transcription.
I really only go out of my way to call someone if I'm texting with them. We're texting for like 5 minutes and it's just too complex and nobody really knows what they're even talking about. I'll be like, God, now I got to call this person and sort things out.
A text is so much easier than a voicemail.
Right. Oh, yeah, but isn't it so annoying when you're texting someone, they don't respond, and then they call you? You're like,
I obviously
wanted
available.
To text. You know what I mean?
But the whole transcription, I don't know about you guys, but the whole transcription of voicemail things has changed everything. Because you can now, you don't have to listen to it. You just, on the Apple, you can do transcription.
Yeah, but the transcription is never right.
It isn't, but you can guess.
Well, kind of. I found the transcript to be often completely confusing.
So you got to listen to it anyway.
I mean, you're sort of looking at it. I mean, when I look at it now, it's like I'm looking at some of the transcripts here, and I'm like, I have no idea what it's trying to tell me. It doesn't understand my mother at all. It's got a lot of dot, dot, dots when it comes to that.
Does she have an accent?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, my dad's is really good at picking up what he's saying. No, it's really good, and it's shocking. I'm like, Suri barely understands me. How does she understand you? I'm like, do you have some Romanian thing on there?
That is strange.
I mean, Suri, of course, is a famous Romanian name. I don't understand why don't you want to talk on the phone? I mean, I don't want to talk on the phone, but why don't you people?
Well, I don't like it because
I'm
not really trying to multitask for the most part. I guess that's a millennial thing. Like, you're trying to get a lot of things done, so it's just annoyance.
Yeah, and then people know where you are.
And the service always, like, it's choppy, and, like, you're like, oh, this is just annoying. It's giving me a headache.
You got to roll up the windows if you're driving.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
And you have to avoid all human contact, because you can just live through
your
phone.
It's not about that, really. I despise that analogy. But, I don't know. It's just more convenient. You can express yourself and use your words through text messages, and sometimes you're at loss of words when you're actually speaking.
And then you have an emoji in case you don't know what to say.
Right, exactly.
An emoji.
If you're going to meet someone somewhere at 7:30, say, I'll meet you there at 7:30. Why would I have to call that person? Be like, so, hey, how are you? I'll meet you there at 7:30. What else is new?
So you like to communicate in a succinct way.
Yeah.
It needs to be very short and sweet.
This is a good way of putting it, yes.
Okay.
Unless you have to call your mom and just make her happy and talk to her for a while. Like, that's a phone conversation. You know, like, everyone has that conversation. They're like, all right, I'm going to waste 20 to 25 minutes here and call someone.
Talking to your mom.
I mean.
I'm with her. I get it.
What?
I totally understand that.
It's not a waste, but it's just unproductive.
Like, oh, my God. I was on the phone with my mom on the way in today.
After the dentist appointment?
Yes. Well, she wanted to know how it went. And I told her.
Sweet. Checking up on you.
Yeah. And I'm talking to her. And then it was like, and they go, all right, I'm pulling into the garage. I got to go. And then she starts another sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was just saying bye. And then, oh, you know what I was thinking?
And then in another one. And then another one. And then another one. And I'm like, I
And you
I
get
gotta
to the
go.
Point, yeah,
I have to go!
And then it's like, why are you yelling?
Moms always say bye like 13 times, too. Okay, all right, bye. Okay, okay, good
I wonder
to hear
if I'm
you.
Doing that with my kid. I don't know. I'm going to check myself now. Check yourself. All right, here is Violetta Pettermanic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. We've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN news at 6 o'clock. Also at 6 o'clock hour, Alex Stone is going to join us from Phoenix, where forces for and against Donald Trump are amassing outside his rally, which will be at 9 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. So we'll tell you all about what's happening there. And Danny Trejo is going to join us as well. A great character actor here in the United States of America. All that coming your way. But first, Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
President going to speak tonight in Phoenix.
Yes, he is. And our own Alex Stone, ABC News' Alex Stone, is going to be standing by to talk to us from Phoenix in just about a minute here as he's getting ready. This is an official campaign stop. It's kind of funny. It's Trump Pence 2020, and they're paying for it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this is. It's a because they have to, you know, in order to get the airplane. Mm-hmm. So he gets the. Now, it's interesting because every president does this little accounting trick. He goes to the Air Force base, or the joint base, I should say, in Yuma, mm-hmm. Arizona, flies there on official business to go look at the wall, inspect the wall down there.
Build that wall is already a chant outside the Phoenix Stadium.
And then he goes from Yuma, then the fuel that's used to get from Yuma to Phoenix is the official.
Oh, that's what you have to pay for from the campaign
fuel
funds?
Fuel for the campaign funds. Mm. Use of Air Force One. Because the campaigns all pay for, that's how that goes. So the president's on political business, and this it applies to all presidents, political business, then their campaign fund has to pay. If he's on official business, then the government pays. And if he's got Steve Mnuchin's wife, the world pays.
Who's paying for the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's wife to go on her visits promoting different designers?
By the way, it is just announced, for those who are following that story, that Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, and his wife, who seems like a piece of work, she got into a Twitter or to an Instagram war.
Yes, she did.
With a woman because they flew down on a government jet to Kentucky to a meeting down there, a series of meetings at Fort Knox of all places, where she was polishing gold, she on Instagram showed off her $15,000 ensemble that she was wearing as she was getting off the U.S. government jet. An American taxpayer took umbrage with that.
Yes, not like it. Said taxpayer money. We don't want to see all your designer threads, kind of thing.
And then Mrs. Mnuchin got a little mad back at it. She's the new Mrs. Mnuchin. She just married
third wife
2 months ago, and she's a beautiful woman.
And the Scottish aristocrat, you could say, grew up in a castle, went to the same boarding school as Tony Blair.
She then took this woman's head off on Instagram for making fun of her and saying, you know, we pay more money in taxes than you do.
We make a lot of sacrifices was one of the words used. Mm-hmm. And also, you're out of touch. Mom from the Portland area of three who has a regular job.
Right. So she's had to apologize for that. And the Mnuchins are paying back her trip on the plane.
How do you split that up? Because he has to take the plane anyway, the extra seat.
Yeah, there's always a way.
It's sort of a PR stunt at this point.
I think you actually have to do it that way. I think the government requires for government transportation.
Even your wife?
Yeah, well, she wasn't part of the official delegation.
Hmm.
She seems to have horned herself into a number of different events here. She's only been married to him for 2 months, and he's only been Treasury Secretary for six, right? And she somehow has found a way to work her way into going to places with him. I'm not leaving her side.
Yeah.
I think, you know what, and I get it. I mean, you know, he's punching above his weight a little bit with her. I mean, she's pretty hot. But I think what we're dealing with here is sort of, you know, it's a bit of the early months power grab here in the marriage. I would like to play marriage counselor to Steve and Mrs. Mnuchin.
What would you say? It seems like they both enjoy their lives, which is okay. Enjoy your life, but just when you're deplaning the United States government plane, don't brag about your $15,000 ensemble.
I would let the Treasury Secretary be the Treasury Secretary and do his job. And I'll see you at home at night or on the weekends. Let's just do it that way. Mm. You do your life. I do my life for as long. I mean, Steve Mnuchin's likely not to be there past January anyway.
Who knows?
If all the rest of this plays out.
I'm sure it'll surprise you, not at all, that the Instagram post has been retagged in the meme world to kind of reflect his alleged foreclosure bankster background, tagging it with eviction of it, how it was paid for, all of the brands that she mentioned that she was wearing, Iraq vet eviction, cancer family foreclosure, recent widow's home, and they go through the whole thing of that part of their past as well.
Part of his past.
His past.
Not their past.
Yeah, she wasn't around for that.
Their past is June. that's their
No,
past.
They've been together for 6 or 7 years. It's been a while, but she wasn't part of his business. I think that's fair.
Right. She was an actress from such notable films as Lamb versus Lion.
And she met Steve Mnuchin as he produced one of the films that she was had a role in.
Yes. There you have it. All right.
Yeah.
Alex Stone is joining us now from Phoenix, Arizona, where it's in the hundreds, right? It's in triple-digit temperatures there, is it not, Stone Pony?
That's not going to help anything.
No, it is definitely not.
Coming from Lincoln City. Hey there, hopefully you can hear me now.
Yeah, we gotcha.
To answer your question, yeah, it definitely is, especially coming from Oregon yesterday where it was 55 degrees. It's about 110 here right now.
The crowds are amassing. First of all, where in Phoenix is this speech going to be held tonight by the president?
Right downtown at the convention center, and the first really big protest group just now came marching in, holding up signs that say resist, holding up signs that say no Trump, no KKK, that now you heard a lot of people just a moment ago say, well, here it goes, that now it's going to begin. They're marching in right now. They're still coming in. We don't know how big this group is, but police have gotten ready. They say for potentially tens of thousands of people downtown. If it will turn out to be that big, we don't know. But the Trump supporters are behind barricades waiting to go inside. They've been out here all day long. They're going through security. They're beginning to move in as the protests really begin. For the most part, right outside.
Alex, there was a lot of talk that tonight the president might be pardoning local sheriff Joe Arpaio. I think ABC News now is reporting, amongst others, that that's not going to happen at this rally tonight. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, and so the White House, Sarah Sanders, who said that he is not going to do that tonight, and it was something that a lot of on both the left and right here in Arizona said, don't do it, Mr. President, because it's a controversial case here in Arizona. You know, Arpaio at one time was kind of a god in law enforcement. And then that quickly that changed over the last couple of years as he was convicted for contempt and the sentiment changed for him here that it wouldn't be cut and dry. If he were to pardon him, there would be a lot of discontent here in Arizona. So a number of folks have said, don't do that. That will just make everything more heightened out here.
Yeah, it doesn't really help him in any way to do that, even with his base. His base is going to support him whether or not he pardons Arpaio or not. And Arpaio, it will continue to chip away at things, because there's people who are like, well, Arpaio, at the end of Arpaio's time in service in Maricopa County, Arizona, mm-hmm. he was not all that popular of a guy, because a lot of the things that he did, they sound great, right? The sound bites, making the prisoners wear pink and eating bologna sandwiches and living in tent cities and stuff like that. But the crime just continued to grow. And when he was convicted, what he was convicted of was in contempt of a consent decree to stop the pulling over of people just based on their ethnicity. Right?
He was somebody who made headlines, definitely, but the current sheriff here in Maricopa County is kind of the anti-Arpaio. He's rolling back a lot of what Arpaio did, that the Democratic mayor of Phoenix, who was the one who told Trump not to come tonight, he says, if you do that, Mr. President, it's going to create an uproar here. Republicans have said the same thing. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. You can probably hear around me the crowd is growing as we speak. It's getting a lot bigger. Police have moved in. They're using their, and likely what they're going to use tonight, but using their bikes as almost barricades or fences, lining up tire to tire, getting ready to try to keep all the sides separated.
Are the lessons being learned? Have you talked to any law enforcement officials who are talking about ways to learn from Charlottesville here to keep the protesters as far away, or from Boston? I mean, as another good example over the weekend, Boston police did a good job keeping the protesters away from each other. I mean, that's where this begins to unravel.
Yeah, they're hoping that the lessons have been learned here. The Phoenix Police Department knows how to deal with crowds. They dealt with the Super Bowl here. They've dealt with the Final Four. They've dealt with a lot of protests. They know how to deal with large crowds, and they have a large department, unlike Charlottesville. But this is a downtown location. The president, since he has become president, has not held, as far as I know, one of these rallies in a major downtown. They've been in smaller areas, more rural areas. That this is a big burden for this police department as they deal, if they deal, with the tens of thousands who they say they may have to deal with tonight. So this is, you know, something that is going to be a challenge for them, that they think, though, they've got the manpower they need.
Alex, we're hearing that they've shut down the streets surrounding the Phoenix Convention Center, but there also were reports that even downtown Phoenix office buildings and some businesses decided to close, some of them for the day, what I heard, in advance of this rally or this Trump appearance.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, a number of the shops, the businesses, the schools, the courts shut down ahead of this. There's one right next to my hotel that there's a sign out front that says, out of concern for safety, that they were shutting down and they would be closed today. So that's exactly what they're doing. They've shut it down, many of the shops and businesses, just out of concern of what could happen. You know, we're still 3 hours away from this thing starting, and you can see the crowd growing, and we would expect it's going to continue doing it over the next 3 hours.
All right. So, have you seen any of the? Have you seen people carrying signs representing either the Antifa or the neo-Nazis or anything? Are they there? Are either the sides that created all the trouble there in Charlottesville?
We haven't seen them on either side yet. Just a lot of signs saying no hate and other things. There are walking up right now some members of what look like their own group of the security of some kind that are not police officers, but they've got long guns and they're in what looks like tactical gear. We don't know which group they're going to be representing here or protecting here, but it looks like they're going to be doing security of some kind. And
wait, these are civilians or these are uniformed officers?
These are civilians who are walking up right now with their long guns. Remember, this is an open carry state, something that the police knew they were going to have to deal with tonight, that there could be guns in this crowd. And police have said, hey, they would rather you not bring them, but you have every legal right in the non-secure area, not inside, but outside here to have them.
And what's the capacity there at the stadium? How many people are they allowing inside?
Inside the convention center, several thousand, I believe, is what they're looking for tonight. And, you know, the biggest problem is we covered these throughout the entire campaign, is always when it's over and you've got those coming out from inside who are charged up and they have heard the president and the candidate speaking, and they come out and they're ready to go, and then they're met by the protesters on the other side. That's when fists start to fly and words start to get exchanged. It's usually right when it's over.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Late at night, too.
We don't need this. We don't need this. Well, it should be over about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Local
time there. So, I mean, it's 9 o'clock Chicago time, and it's going to get covered in a lot of places. Because people are very interested in what we're going to be hearing from the president and what his rhetoric is going to sound like. I mean, last night he stayed on the prompter. He did all that stuff, right, from Fort Myers in Washington, where he was talking about the Afghanistan policy. And it was a pretty, you know, pro forma presidential speech, you know, given his own interpretation of that. He makes the presidency his own. There's no question about that. If I can use the American Idol concept here. But right now, and would you just give us an idea from the streets right there, Alex? Would you say there are hundreds of people or thousands yet?
You know, hard to say. They're marching around. They're on the move. I would say maybe a couple of thousand people among everybody who is out here right now. And the Trump supporters who are holding up Make America Great Again signs, wearing the red hats, they're beginning to move in. They're being separated on two sides of this downtown street. You've got police keeping the protesters who have moved into one side, the supporters who are on the other side, as this really just gets going.
That's what police will tell you. That's an important point. You have to keep the protesters
separate. Well, it's something that didn't happen in Charlottesville.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they're the important part, keeping them separated. And the Phoenix Police Department has said that's what they're going to do tonight.
Alex, what's the temperature there right about now? Do you know?
108, I believe, is the last I saw. It's a little toasty.
Is it a dry heat, Alex?
Yeah, that's what they'll tell you. But I'll tell you, the sweat coming off of my chin. I don't care if it's dry or not.
Right, your chin's not dry. That's all there is to it.
No.
All right, stay safe out there, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Alex Stone, ABC News, who is there in Phoenix awaiting the president's speech. And again, a campaign speech.
Mm.
At an official campaign rally for his 2020 reelection campaign.
Starting early.
Mitch McConnell says he's not going to make it to 2019.
I don't know.
That is weird.
It's hard to bet against him at this point.
Oh, I think more people are than have been before. I think that's for sure. But we'll just have to wait.
We'll have to see. I hope it's peaceful tonight. I really do. Oh, my gosh, 108 and thousands of people, passionate people.
All right, Violetta Potomatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots. Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Danny Trejo is going to join us from Dusk Till Dawn, Con Air, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Spy Kids, Grindhouse, Machete, Muppets Most Wanted.
Muppets Most Wanted.
That's right. I
didn't know he was in that. Which one doesn't belong here out of all those film critics? He's awesome. He's really great. I've loved him in all of the movies. Quentin Tarantino movies.
Sons of Anarchy he's been in. TV stuff he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Heat, it's one of my favorite movies.
It's been a lot of stuff. It's going to be at the Wizard World Comic Con, too. So we're going to talk to him about what life is like as a
Comic Con attendee.
Right, just as an attendee. That's it. Not even as an actor. What do we care? what's it like to go to Comic Con?
We're keeping it local.
Can you ask him if he gets a lifetime supply of Snickers? Because I always wonder when celebrities do commercials like that, like in the contract, just be like, you know what? Throw in a lifetime supply of Snickers.
That'd be so cool.
I always wonder.
It'd be a good ask, if you ever get in that position.
He plays an angry, about to cut your head off kind of dude.
I know.
In so many roles.
He's so good at it.
And you just kind of wonder, what kind of service does he get when he goes to a restaurant?
Well, he's got a heart of gold. I mean, apparently he gives back in a big way, spent some time in prison, and decided he's going to help whoever he can, however he can, and has done a lot of work with young people. So I want to ask him about that, too.
All right. Hey, do you like to kiss your dog?
I don't have a dog, but
I did
kiss my dog.
I knew a girl in high school let her dog lick the inside of her mouth.
That's so gross.
It was just and people, and they know they got this whole thing, this whole notion that the dog's mouth is cleaner than anything else.
It has to fight more bacteria.
Well, there's a lot of urban legend about this. Mm-hmm. Turns out
what?
That there are more than 700 different types of bacteria in a dog's mouth.
Oh, dear God.
And is that more than a human?
And that does not count what the dog was licking just before it kissed you.
Yeah, that's
like
what
some
I'm
other
saying.
Some other dog's butt.
Or their own, whatever.
Or their own.
You don't know what they're out there in their yard when you just let them out and they come back an hour later. You know what they did. You know what they ate.
Well, because they put their nose right close to everything and their mouth is there too.
Yep.
It's just
puppy breath's the worst, though. They're so cute, but man.
People who should not let dogs lick them are people with weak immune systems.
Mm.
Or if the dog has a medical condition that could spread.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, God.
Tapeworms.
Pets can have periodontal disease. Well, you can tell that because they got that,
Because it's hard to brush their teeth. I tried to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's never good. Or then you send them in once a year to get their teeth cleaned. And then it's like a death sentence. It's sort of like, it's like when you send grandpa in for heart surgery. It's the same sort of deal.
You like, what did you do to me?
Well, the doctor always tells you, the dog, it is anesthesia. And there is a warrant. You have to sign a little waiver that says when they put the dog under for the teeth cleaning, the dog may not come back. And you're like, what?
It's hard to sign.
Really? Do I want to do that?
Very hard to sign that paper.
Rostrong.
But I am Rostrong, and I've signed that paper. The dog.
Well, I meant the dog, but okay.
Dog doesn't get a choice, unfortunately. So don't kiss the dog.
Yeah.
Kind of already knew that, but that's good to know.
A 2011 study showed that 66 dogs and 81 people in Japan, part of the study, suggested dog kissing actually swaps disease-causing oral bacteria between both. The dog would be like, oh, no.
You look dirty.
I don't know where your mouth's been. Actually, I do know where your mouth's been, and that was disgusting. I just do that to myself. Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, it's a fallacy to believe that your dog's mouth is completely clean.
Wait, what about if a dog eats off your plate? Like licks the plate clean? Is that really bad if you wash the plate after?
Well, you can wash the plate.
But does that kill all the bacteria?
Well, doesn't washing do that?
I don't know. I hope so.
Do you do it in a dishwasher or do you just wipe it with a dry towel?
Does it. It looks clean. The dog just cleaned it. Put it right away. No, yeah, in a dishwasher.
Yeah. I mean, you can also use the sanitize, the modern dishwasher. I don't know what kind of dishwasher you have.
Your hands.
But they have the sanitizing thing now. You press a button and it sanitizes.
Oh, fancy.
You can try that.
Fancy schmancy.
Yeah. If you're, basically what they're suggesting here is don't ever do this because half-eaten a hot dog, your dog found on the street, mm-hmm. or another dog's poop could be loaded with Toxocara, Salmonella, Giardia, hookworm, tapeworm, and many other things.
Yeah, dear God.
I know.
And then they lick you.
And then they lick you, right? And they get, you know. Mm. I never let my dogs lick me on my mouth, though. Sometimes my chin. That's close to my mouth.
That is
close.
It's a little sometimes close for too close for.
Or if you lick your hand and then later you put it in your mouth.
I don't. I try not to lick my hand. Not since I was four
I
licked my hand.
Your dog licks the hand and then your hand gets near your mouth.
Yeah, I tend to be a little bit. I don't know. I just
don't need creatures in my house or kissing me.
It's good to know.
No, I just mean, you know.
I'm just. Most people are like, believe that their dog's mouth is cleaner than theirs. Turns out it is not true.
No.
That's false. That's
fake news.
A little piece of information that you need to know. Judy Pilak standing by with the real news right now, being brought to you by the Lindeman Chimney Company.
Unbelievable, Ro.
Yes, what is that?
How you powered through almost the entire show 20 minutes ago, Ro Strong. You've persevered. Mental and physical
trending,
fortitude.
Trending hashtag. I have endured a filling procedure today by my dentist, and I've arrived at work without any fear of not being able to complete my appointed duties here at WGN Radio.
Even
it really
with
was quite
four
a thing.
Advil in your system.
Yes. I have I've spoken to many community leaders who are offering me praise.
Is there a prayer service?
I believe there was a prayer service, a vigil, to make sure that I was going to be able to survive this. And then, and now I believe I'm going to be honored with a ticker tape parade down Michigan Avenue on my way home.
You could hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't skipped a beat, really.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Wouldn't have known unless you told us.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over again.
Oh, God. I am Ro Strong. I'm going home tonight. I'm going to look up how much it's going to cost me to buy like 1,000 of those bracelets.
I bet it's pretty
yellow
cheap.
Rubber bracelets. I bet they are.
I bet you could get those. I'm just confused about the whole thing. So people, when they feel like they've persevered in the face of great challenges, and then they get a bracelet?
Do you
have to show courage? Is that it?
No. I think you just have to show the minimum amount of effort to get a Ro Strong bracelet. I think that's what that is. Just the minimum amount of effort.
How about no effort?
Right. In some cases, no effort.
Okay.
Like getting out of bed in the morning, you get a Ro Strong bracelet.
But the willingness to talk about it, to talk about how you had persevered, I think that's part of it.
And you being the one to bring
part.
It up.
Yes, exactly. I think that's what it's all about. Just knowing that at any given moment, you know, that you too can go get a filling in the afternoon and show up for work.
Still go to work.
Yeah. Not call in sick.
Power through the whole
day. Although I do know people that would have called in for sick for like 2 days after having done that.
2 days after a filling?
Yes. I know that. I know people like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still time when you get the crown put on, you can do it.
Yeah, the crown's a bigger deal. So.
Crown is a bigger deal.
Because if you thought this hurt, just wait.
Well, yes, there's the, I know. I've had a crown before.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
I was trying to scare you.
I know how this goes.
You need a root canal then.
Yeah, not necessarily. No, my dentist was able to do without the root canal.
Thank God.
Because my roots are fine. The nerves are alive and well. Thank God. Again, I'd like a badge for courage for that. Call the Boy Scouts. All right, Danny Trejo doesn't have to put up with this crap. He's sitting here on the line
waiting to talk to us.
That is a real tough guy right there. He's an actor. He's an activist. He's a restaurateur. And it's a real honor to have you on, sir. Thank you very much. Really have enjoyed your work throughout these many years because nobody plays a badass like you do, sir.
Nobody.
Yeah. And nobody plays Marsha Brady like me either.
That's true.
Snickers commercial, pretty good too, I gotta say.
That is really true. I do have to say I wonder, did they come to you and did you, how did that work where they chose you to play Marsha Brady in the Snickers commercial?
Well, they had talked to my agent, and my agent, Gloria Hinojosa, she called me and says, "We've got a Super Bowl commercial." Now that is like the holy grail to an actor.
Oh, yeah.
More people watch the Super Bowl than the Oscars, okay? And I just screamed, "All right, this is one problem." And I said, "What?" And she says, "You've got to be Marsha Brady." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And then she told me what Snickers was going to pay me, so I just immediately just put one hand to the side and one hand on my hip and said, "Oh, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Marsha Brady all day."
Do you ever get tired of playing the bad guy and the inmates and just the badass?
Well, you know what? If you, I don't know if you ever got a good look at me. I'm not going to be like the guy next door that everybody's in love with. You know what I mean? Machete was as close as I'm going to get.
That was so good.
Yes, to being to being the cuddly, lovable next door neighbor. Right? How about we got to cut your head off? That's what I'm going to do. Well, now let's talk about this because your travels, the way that you got to being on screen is a really, really interesting story. You grew up in streets of L.A. You had some drug issues when you were a kid. You spent your late teens and early 20s in prison.
I went to the penitentiary for drugs.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But you went, right. How long did you go in? How long were you in the slammer?
The last time I did 5 years. But it's funny because I went for selling 4 ounces of sugar to a federal agent. Pure sugar. And they were very, very angry. They call it sale in lieu of narcotics. And the federal government does not like to get cheated. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know. Even more so now. Yeah. So there is this. So you went. You did 5 years. And when you came out, and I think this is an interesting thing. One of the things that you do that I don't think people know as much about is you're very much, a part of the program of getting people clean, a drug and alcohol counselor. You're one of those guys who, shows up at an intervention, who helps people, helps families try to get people who are lost in those families, to get them some sort of help here. And that's really become a very important part of your life.
I honestly believe that the only way people can stay out of prison after being not an inmate, a convict, there's a big difference, after being somewhat of a convict, you kind of resign yourself to this is my life and this is what I'm going to do. So in order to stay out and change that, I think you've got to dedicate your life to just helping others. And that's what I've done. That's what all my friends do. Everybody that I associate with will always have like socks and thermal underwear in their trunk of their car so they can pass them out to the homeless. Just here, dude, here's some socks, man.
Yeah.
It's just like you people don't understand. Sometimes you can hand somebody a pair of socks and they start crying. you know, and it's like, wow, somebody cares. I'm not just thrown away. You know what I mean? So it's really, for me, it's heartwarming and it's such a blessing to be able to make somebody's day with just like a picture or a hello or a autograph. You know, there's a lot of actors that don't like signing autographs, right? And they're idiots. And I do. You know, I do. I will, every morning, that's what I say in my prayer. That, let me sign every autograph. Let me take every picture. Because, like, again, what a joy it is to be able
to, I mean,
a blessing to be able to make somebody's day.
Yeah, and I mean, and also to have gone, you know, that path where you went through all the stuff that went wrong in your life, and you were able to turn it around, and to be able to share that success with other people and that story, because there are people who are totally, Danny, you know, beside themselves and figure once they've screwed up or they've gone to prison or whatever, you know, it happens to be, or they've had that big loss, mm-hmm. that they're never going to be able to turn it around. And you,
I got a little cousin that just got out of doing 38 years, right? Went when he was 17, and he just got out about 6 months ago. He's 55 years old right now.
Wow.
And we just got him, he's just getting into the electrical union, you know what I mean? And he's, like, passed everything and did all their stuff, you know what I mean? And we just carried him along the way. And so that's like you know, what an honor and a blessing and whatever you want to call it, man. But I mean, he's like... It's like you almost feel like you did God's work, if there's such a thing. You know? Mm-hmm.
So you still do drug counseling?
Yeah, absolutely. I still work for Western Pacific Rehab. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm still a drug counselor. You know, but now mostly I do a lot of public relations for them. Mm.
Yeah, that's amazing stuff.
It really is.
And I mean, Danny Trejo, with all that ink. Guys would think scare me. I'm not going to lie to you. At least you don't have a neck tattoo, at least that I'm aware of. I don't know. Maybe there's a way that happened and you got rid of it. Did you have a neck tattoo? Did you get any of that ink in prison?
Yeah, what happened in prison?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? I got this big old chest piece in prison. The guy that did it for me passed away already, but we started it in San Quentin, and then when we had the outline, and then I got kicked out of San Quentin. They sent me to Folsom. And it was almost like a scene from Love Story or something, because he said he's on the dock and I'm getting on the bus, and he said, "Don't let nobody touch it. I'll go to Folsom." And I said, "All right." So I thought, "Wow, they could have put that in West Side Story or something." And then he showed up in Folsom, and we did a little more, and then the big riot in Folsom. They kicked a lot of guys out, and I went to Soledad, and then he showed up in Soledad.
And so when you were in Con Air then, Danny, this was like, that was an old hat for you. You were used to the diesel therapy of moving around from prison to prison.
Hey, let me tell you something. We had, in Con Air, they got all the wannabe tough guys in Hollywood and put them all together, right? So everything was a contest. If you spit, then everybody tried to spit. And Benny Yukitis, who was four-time world champion, kickboxer, right? Bad. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. He was, I can't remember his name. He was one of the trainers on the set. He was,
John Matuszak, the guy who was an Oakland Raider?
No. Anyway, he was his trainer, and he knew me because I grew up with his older brother. So every time those contests would start, he'd come grab me and say, "You want to get out of here. I said, "Why?" He says, "Dan, you're a bad sport and you don't play good with others. I know you. You grew up with my brother." And he wouldn't let me participate. You know?
I just don't want to say, you know, what I want is I want Danny Trejo to do all of my dirty work for me, whatever it is. I want you to go, like if you had to have a meeting with your bosses, you want to send Danny to your meeting.
I got a guy. I'm going to send him as a representative.
Danny with his shirt off, with the prison tats on. And just
what you
like,
want.
Yeah, and exactly. And with some sort of menacing object in his hand. Doesn't have to be an actual weapon.
No.
Just anything that could be used as a weapon. A bottle. A
ruler.
A stick. A stapler. Like he's going to staple your forehead. I think that's the thing. All right, if you want to meet Danny Trejo, he is going to be at the 20th Annual Wizard World Comic Con, August 24th through 27th, Donnelly Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Don't miss this. Yes, you are.
Yeah, Wizard World. Wizard World is great. I love wizards. unless it's like the Grand Wizard,
I know. Yeah,
wow,
no.
Yeah.
Right.
Separate.
Yeah, and Danny, let me tell you something. Grand Wizard doesn't love you either, as it turns out.
Make sure if the feds ask you that I was seeing like a, it was Wizard World.
Yes, I will. We will make that perfectly clear in case anybody asks. Danny, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Thank you guys so much, man. All right. I'll see you Friday.
All right, Danny Trejo. Thank you very much. Violetta Pattermatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots right now. All right, my friends. Here is Justin Kaufman. He's downloading himself right in front of us.
Really quickly, though, guys, we got to say this. Two to trust at four. Watch Ben Bradley, Lourdes Duarte, Chicago's very own WGN TV News. Weeknights from 4 to 5. Mm. There you go.
Download complete.
Thank you.
Very well done. Artificial intelligence component to your show tonight.
Well, I just, you know, I like to talk computer once in a while. It's a fun little game.
Mm-hmm.
Talk like a computer day.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that artificial intelligence song that we played.
I didn't hear it.
That was produced by artificial intelligence. Oh.
So a new Britney Spears track.
No!
Oh.
I see what you did there.
There you did it.
There you go. Yes, you did it again.
Oh!
Make it stop.
Oops.
Oh, wait. Oh, that wasn't a joke.
No, that's different. That was Demi Lovato, Make It Stop. That's a different song.
What do you have on the program tonight?
Speaking of musicians, Michelle Schacht live at the Big Table tonight.
How great.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a very interesting career. Folk singer, anti-folk, really. I'm learning all about this new genre. It's not new. It's new to me.
Anti-folk?
Yeah, that you know, because a
wouldn't
lot
that,
of...
Wouldn't that be what Stephen Mnuchin's wife is? Anti-folk?
No, there's folk music, but there's the movement of musicians, especially in the 90s with Michelle Schacht and Indigo Girls and others, that they didn't want to be categorized as mainstream folk. And the idea of like what we know to be folk music from the 60s, the sort of hippie around the campfire kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. they created a new genre called
the answer, my friend.
Yeah, right.
Is blowing in the wind.
I'll ask her about it. I don't know too much about it. And I was on my Apple Music. It said one of the leading voices of the anti-folk music movement. And I'm like, what?
But it was used those kinds of riffs, but they were highly produced.
Yeah, I think also it has much more to do with their lyrics and their political stances. They're different in the way that Michelle Schacht has been controversial throughout her entire life. She said on Piers Morgan when she was apologizing for one of her controversial remarks.
She appeared on Piers Morgan. That's controversial enough.
Did she
apologize
for
that?
Yeah, it was exactly. She said that you know, the two tenets of American politeness is to not talk about religion or politics, and mm-hmm. she chooses to talk mm-hmm. about both. That's what she does. And so she always finds herself against the grain, mm-hmm. pushing and having a career in which she's always pushing
the
boundaries.
Rack up the hill. And, yes, yeah, I understand.
But she's Grammy nominated.
She's real strong.
And she's doing a trilogy of her old albums, the 25th anniversary of Arkansas Traveler this year, and she's at City Winery tomorrow night, so we'll talk with her about it.
What a great venue that
Best
is.
Best venue, yeah. One of them in city.
So we got that. We got we'll keep tabs on the rally in Phoenix.
Okay.
And we got much more tonight. We got a big show. So we'll get
all
to
right.
it.
Oh, well, that's good. You know what? Couldn't it be happier for you? That's fantastic.
You know, your happiness means so much to
me,
bro. Really,
I know. That's and I appreciate. Thank you for your well wishes on my near fatal dental incident today. Appointment. Yeah. Right. It was a filling, and I'm here.
You made it.
And I've made it now to the end of the show. And
really
I was like,
strong, right?
I'd like an award of some sort. Right.
You know, there's still a chance for an infection.
What? Oh God.
Rob. No, we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh,
thanks. God,
36 hours.
Why would you do that? Oh, God.
Ro cries.
You should be in quarantine. I'm surprised you're even here. Just
what?
Be compromised.
We should all be in
system.
Hazmat suits, right. I think, to be exposed to.
Definitely don't let a dog lick your mouth.
Oh, no.
There's more to worry about.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's usually what a dentist will tell you when they're done with the filling. And if you just don't let a dog lick you in the mouth. Okay, and here, take this sugar-free sucker.
Oh, gosh.
And some floss.
You don't even have a sticker. No, they didn't even give you a sticker.
Oh, my God. I got to go. Well, I have to go back because I got to get a crown. Not like Judy's crown, but like a crown. I have to get another thing.
Yeah. Right. You should live broadcast.
Can you imagine? Like Katie Couric did with her colon, right? Mm-hmm. Her colonoscopy.
Same concept.
You could do your dental appointment.
Right. Just actually, we should have Kevin and Violetta do a video of me actually getting a crown put in.
Do you get laughing gas?
With them. I learned a long time ago, do not broadcast while not in full control of your faculties. Even though it doesn't stop me on Fridays, but you know what I mean.
Too many statements after the fact you had to.
Yeah.
We didn't mean what we said.
Another thing I never liked him. Ever.
Apologies, yeah.
We acted like we liked him. We didn't. All right.
All right, have a good night.
Good? Okay, bye. Yeah.